welcome to episode 15 of Crippled System. As the cool kids say, be warned, this is far and away the worst War Machine Hordes podcast I have ever heard. Not this specific episode, though. I haven't heard it.
How do you know we are War Machine Hordes podcast?
We aren't.
That's the part that confuses me.
Yeah. We are the worst podcast, but the inaccuracy is claiming it's War Machine Hordes.
Well, we are War Machine Hordes adjacent.
I do want to thank M. Burke 69 from the Privateer Press Forum for those kind words.
The 69 knows you. That's how you know you're classy.
Yeah.
Right?
That's why it was serious. It meant a lot.
I'm pretty sure it's... There's a game that I play on my phone against some guy named Knockers. He cracks me up every time I play him.
This M. Burke 69 guy apparently knows his stuff because he's obviously a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure aficionado, because that's what 69 must be in reference to.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you'll remember that's the number that they used to test their future selves to make sure that they were really them. No?
I didn't watch that.
No.
You don't remember that, Jim?
No.
Ah.
I'm a big Bill and Ted fan, though.
They're like, if you're us, what number are we thinking of right now? And it was 69, and they all high-fived.
But wouldn't the evil Bill and evil Ted have also been thinking of that
number? No. This was Excellent Adventure when they meet themselves from later in the movie in the parking lot of the Circle
Journey.
K. Yeah, this isn't Bogus Journey. This is Excellent Adventure. Yeah, this wasn't evil robot Bill and evil robot Ted. This was actual later in the film Bill and Ted.
But there's no good robot.
Okay.
And then he's like, don't forget to set your watch, remember?
How about this? What if in the first one, the Bill and Ted of the future were actually evil robot Bill and evil robot Ted?
They would say 96.
What?
No.
Yeah, they would reverse it.
I'm just saying, that would be a cool, like, retcon.
Yeah.
Like, they got tricked by the future.
I don't think there's any movie that wouldn't be improved if you considered the villains to be Evil Robot Bill and Evil Robot Ted. Like, Lord of the Rings? Seriously, if that's Evil Robot Bill and Evil Robot Ted in that big tower, yes.
That'd be pretty good. I can dig that.
Yeah. I'm excited that they're going to make a third Bill and Ted movie. I hope it's not dead.
Really?
They were gonna.
Oh, that's pretty good.
We should probably introduce who's all on this podcast.
I'm Bill.
No. We got Bill, Ted, Robot Bill, Robot Ted, Station, Death, and Genghis Khan. Or no, it was Billy the Kid.
No, he should be the
Socrates Johnson. Rufus?
Yes.
Yeah, Rufus.
Andy's Rufus.
All right, so we're going
to
seriously.
I like how you pointed to everybody so nobody knows who
that is. Podcast land, that helped them all.
We're not a video podcast anymore?
No.
Nope. Just episode 10?
Like, I thought you were the guy always recording us in the background. Then. which
we were supposed to jacuzzi video podcast this weekend, but never got around to it.
We bought all that video equipment.
The jacuzzi was broken, I thought.
Yeah, the jacuzzi was broken.
So we were just going to sit around naked in a broken jacuzzi.
Yeah, and podcast and do it a video podcast. And
no bubbles or anything.
Nope. We were just going to sit there.
There'd be bubbles occasionally.
Yeah. Brian would provide us with the bubbles.
That's an Eddie Murphy reference by accident. Trading Spaces.
We should probably really go through and introduce everybody.
I'm not stopping you.
We have like a full house.
We have a very full house.
There are 20 of us
because
here.
We have the normal cast and then we have other people.
That's true.
It was going somewhere with that sentence and then it failed.
Maybe you should point out the other people to the audience.
All right. Yeah, keep pointing.
So that's a guy. And there's another guy, and that's a girl, and then that's Katie, and then there's a couple more guys. Go.
I see what you did there.
It's funny to me.
Only to you.
Introduce yourselves, you ladies.
This is Jeremy, also Valiant 418 on the forums. I play Rhett in Legion.
This is Jim, Valiant 420 on the forums, and I also play Rhett in Legion.
You don't.
That's half true.
No, he's played Legion. He has played
Legion.
I believe you.
I went 2-1 in that tournament.
Yep.
All right, this is Katie, Bad Horse on the forums. I play Circle.
No, actually, you currently play Bubble Mania.
Yeah.
I only have
quit playing your phone game.
Look who's talking, mister. I sit around for 2 hours playing a phone game instead of doing the rational pastime.
I would never do that.
Yeah.
So, Jesus, our intros are taking like 20 minutes to get through.
Welcome to Moves on Minis, where we're going to be 4 hours today. Actual battle reports.
Yeah,
coming up.
All right, Nathan?
Yes, I am. Done.
Brian, I play Crix.
This is Jordan, I play Cater, and I have no idea what the fuck I've gotten myself into.
Andy, Major Tusk.
You listened to one episode, didn't you, Jordan?
Just the battle reports.
Yeah, because we mentioned him.
Yes, exactly.
You've been
one.
To Denny's with us, right?
No.
No, he's
no.
never been.
Oh no, God.
He's never been.
Well, it's not kosher.
Of course.
I'm not practicing.
Also, he's seriously doubting all of his decisions right
Jordan,
now.
Jordan heard our Holocaust episode and decided to join us.
Oh, what?
Wow.
All right, can we do anything at all to change topics? Anything at all?
Jesus.
So I hear there's a big event this weekend.
Brian could probably fart.
Brian could probably fart.
I'm done with that for the day.
There's an event this weekend?
There was.
Okay.
This weekend coming up or last weekend?
Well, this weekend coming up.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So we're going to talk about where we're taking the Mayhem Cup? All right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I believe you were there, Katie. We all drove to Iowa.
Yeah, no, I remember. It's a very long drive. Hey, but I had a pretty uneventful way on the way home. What about you, Jordan?
Just because I don't have breasts and get tickets.
I didn't get pulled over.
That's the breasts only matter if you get pulled
that
over.
That is true. She has a point there.
Boob detectors. And they, go, oh, they got boobs in that car.
If they do, I'm buying one.
That was my boob detector impression. I hope you liked it.
Me, Hong Kong.
People did like your Swedish Chef impression.
They did.
That was very popular.
It was a big hit.
It was amazing. Their stat wasn't longer.
I like the argument that people were insisting that the Swedish Chef was Norwegian.
Yeah,
that, was, well, yeah, that thread that really went off the rails for a while there.
I like that the guy who started it was like, no, I figured out that my friend lied to me.
Jeremy, did you just say while?
No.
He kind of did.
Maybe?
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whoa. Derailed.
Wow. Okay. So so Mayhem Cup.
Yeah, that's pretty much our entire theme for this episode. We're gonna actually have battle reports.
We apologize in advance
to everybody. They'll be very sloppily done, and they won't make any sense. So at least we'll get that part right.
Right.
Well, so we're doing the worst of both worlds. If you don't like battle reports, we're going to do a lot of them. If you like battle reports, we're going to do them very badly and ruin them.
Yes.
So no one will enjoy them.
Yes.
Including us doing them.
Right.
Well, we're going to wander off while each other is giving their battle reports.
Should we have someone do it? Since we're going to be going along, should we have someone do their battle reports and the recommendation, then move on, so we don't have this long end thing?
Sure. My battle reports were my dice hated me as if I had raped their children. They specifically mocked me. My favorite part was where Doc died to a lucky drift on the top of turn one. Marshall activated her Ivagor shot, deviated 6 inches to the one, barely clipped Doc, killed him to the point, and he failed his tough check. And the next turn I had 7 tough checks, and all of them, maybe 6 of the 7, rolled 4s. Just to specifically mock the fact that Doc was dead. So that happened 2 games, and then I decided not to play a third game, and then I spent the rest of the weekend playing board games and just hanging out with people.
And
my recommendation is Devo. We had a Devo marathon on the way to Iowa. We listened to like 2 hours of Devo, and it was awesome. They're more than Whip It.
What's Devo?
Devo's the band that you know from Whip It.
And also Rock the Lobster. Yeah.
That's not true.
They only have one song.
That's true. As with all bands, they only have one song. Some do not look any further into
some
bands.
Some have two.
The Beatles had 15.
You know, Right Said Fred has a very deep library of music that they have to bring to society.
I know you did. You're an ass.
Is Jim being mean off mic?
Yes, he is. This is what you get when you give Jim a spot where he can talk off mic.
Well, no, here's the thing. Is he was trolling me, and I was going to ignore it, because that's what you do. But then he poked me, and he was like, I'm trolling you.
Is he not from the Beatles?
He was.
Man. Well, that's the thing, is I don't even need to fight back, because everyone knows the Beatles are amazing.
Yeah, especially their best song, Yellow Submarine.
It's their worst song. Thank you, Jim.
So our new thing is to talk off mic constantly so people don't even know what's happening. We're all doing bad reports.
I've been on mic. Jim specifically is doing the off mic route this particular episode.
Our goal is to finally reach that rock bottom.
that rock lobster.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Oh, you're too late, sir.
Does anyone else want to talk about their activity at Mayhem Cup?
Well, I have another short day, so I guess I can do mine.
Okay.
Another. That's a good hint.
Spoiler alert.
How Brian didn't do very well. Well, I went. Yeah, anyway, I almost spoiled the record. Round one, I'll actually go a little bit over my list. Well, I played E-Denny, E-Scar, E-Denny Albanes, E-Scar, Satixis Raiders, Blood Gorgeous, who I now love, mostly because of last week's podcast, so that was kind of helpful. And I had a Death Dragon there.
Hey, we just got the first actual confirmation of somebody learning something from Crippled System, the podcast.
I know. Round one, I faced Adam Crump, which is Crump from the Museum of his older brother, who I ironically face every time I go to a tournament lately.
Coincidentally.
Yeah, nope.
No, it's ironic.
It's ironic. Just like, you know, rain on your wedding day.
Yeah. Or scrubbing your toe.
Yeah.
Very ironic. Yeah. Just one time I lost a dollar. Man, irony.
So it was Iskar versus Rask. I haven't faced Rask before, so I was kind of excited. He let me go first, which was probably his downfall right there. People sometimes have good plans to go second, but you still never let Krix Jamless go first. It's just not a thing that you should do. So I rush forward real turret, real fast. I get ahead of him. I could have pushed for a scenario caster kill, but I decided to put the Deathjack after a five focused Deathjack on Rask, and managed to. He actually survived it with 2 hit points. He didn't have any bog trogs to block it. He just got lucky.
Well, he got insanely lucky.
He had a couple
lucky.
I basically wrecked all of his. I wrecked all his heavies. Wait, with
it
the
was
transfers.
Rask with no bog trogs.
No, well, no, he not near him. At the time,
they had to be within like 3 or 4.
He actually got a good ambush with his bog trogs. I knew they were there. Then on turn 2, I forgot about them, so he just like ran into the whole side of my army. Because why would I remember something so obvious as bog trogs? They were right there. So I got on him. But I was under my feet. But it took he couldn't go after me. And then I had to survive one turn of a totem hunter that preyed my caster, but he didn't roll good enough. And then the next turn, Deathjack killed his caster. Round 2, I ironically pull younger Crump. So I had to battle the Crump family. Which actually happens a lot too at events. Crump was fielding Bart Galleon. It's a Keithless. Bart Galleon, Nis Hunters, Wrong Eye Snapjaw, a little thing.
Merc stuff.
Yeah,
how Merc original.
Stuff. Yeah. And I decided to play my E-Denny list. And as soon as I put my models out, this is a pro tip. This is the first time I actually put this list on the table. I'm like, that list is way too slow for what I'm about to fight. I'm like, what a terrible thing for me to do. So excellent idea never playing the list ahead of time. It still was a close game. It took me 2 rounds to kill the Galleon. And the Galleon was just AOEing my army to death, but which I knew would kind of happen. But basically, he got ahead of me in model counts. Late game, I had a chance of maybe killing his caster, but I needed to roll a 10 on 3 dice. I rolled a 9, so I couldn't. I wanted to damage Bart with Epic Denny, so I would force a teleport, so I could have a Bane Thrall, and a Withershadow Combine and try to attack his caster to possibly win. But
force a teleport?
If you damage a model with
Epic
with
Denny, your stick.
I can't call it bad dice. It was one of those times where I needed to roll average, but I didn't that roll. But the game overall was very decent dice. It was just the one, I'll always remember that one time I rolled a 9 when I needed a 10, but it was what it was. He was up on me all game, and I had my one moment to win and just failed. Round 3, I faced a Menoth. I faced P. Sevi. So I was like, I figured that when I see P. Sevi when you're playing Krix, you just expect a really bloody, gruesome match. I did go first, and he had a pretty standard E. Sevi list, a bunch of jacks and crap. That's your standard Menoth, very detailed nonsense. What I didn't know is he was a new player who hasn't really played tournaments before, so I kind of rolled him on scenario because he moved forward. I played E-Denny. I ran forward. He walked, and then I just feeded, and I scored 5. I mean, back turn to turn to turn. I mean, I just won by scenario because he never got a model in a zone to contest me. So
you packed a noob's shit in.
Yeah, I mean he was a nice guy, but I just you see when you're playing E-Denny and you see P7, you turn it up a notch because you just expect the worst. And he was just a nice guy trying to learn the game, and I just overran him.
Try and beat the game out of him.
I know. Yeah.
So, we're very friendly here.
Yeah,
very welcoming.
I think we should have a badge. Anytime you beat the game out of somebody, you should get like a merit badge. Because that's a great feeling.
And
we should have our
merit badges.
How
you get,
awful!
Get a timeout.
Our crippled system, like Girl Scout badge, like the sash that they have with all the.
I was thinking about making punch cards to give out to our opponents, like. The 10th time they lose to somebody from Crippled System, that person has to buy him a drink or something.
So we would never fill this up.
Yeah, we would never.
That's why. I'm like, this is, no risk here.
I was going to say, if it was like a 2-punch, there'd be at least a 50-50 chance it might happen
the
eventually.
The hope was they'd start throwing games because drinks are more valuable. Oops, give me a scotch.
So I went 2-1. A couple 2-1s didn't make the top 16. Because I lost in round 2, not 3, my strength of schedule was not quite good enough. There was other events going on all weekend, but I basically did what Nathan did, hung out, chatted, played board games the rest of the weekend, which was a lot of fun. Those were good times.
You got your shit kicked by Glenn at Blood Bowl.
Blood Bowl.
Yeah.
We played some, which is actually my recommendation. He's going to be Blood Bowl team manager.
Wow, what a spoiler.
I know.
Well,
I did my recommendation already. You said we would do our battle ports and recommendations, and you're the boss.
I thought you said we were doing them at the. I was trying to say we do them at the end, like
you
we always
sack
do.
Of crap.
No, you said no. Do we'll all go around and then we'll give our recommendations, so we don't have to do them all at the end and listen to a bunch of crap.
Listeners.
I didn't say that. He said that.
No, he didn't.
Listeners, stop, rewind, listen to Jeremy. Isn't he a fucking liar? Move on with the podcast.
And you should probably just stop now.
Yeah, like you're on tape here, not tape, but you know, metaphorical tape. Ish. You were all like, "We'll have somebody do their reports, the thing and stuff."
The thing and stuff.
Yeah. I'm Jeremy. Recommendation. That was not actually Jeremy. That was me talking. I want to prevent any confusion because I know how flawless an impression that was.
It was uncanny.
It was pretty amazing.
No, it wasn't uncanny. It was Jeremy.
Now do your Swedish Jeremy impression.
Herby, I suck the twit. Feet, burka, dork.
You got some Durka Durka there at the end? Hell? Was that Swedish terrorist?
That was Muslim Swedish Jeremy. Somewhere in Sweden, there's a Muslim guy named Jeremy. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm on the internet." I made that guy's day.
Showstopper.
Anyway, who's next?
Yeah.
I'll go.
I quite enjoy the hole you're digging in.
Not a hole.
I'll go. Mine was really short. My brain just decided that it wasn't going to show up at the tournament.
That is not what you said. You had a much better way of phrasing it when we were in the car. You said, "My brain decided it was going to take a vacation, but on the way out, it left an Upper Decker in the toilet, shit on the table, broke some stuff, and then left the door open."
Wow. That would be
amazing.
That would be.
Now say that in Swedish.
Oh my god. No, that would be an awesome t-shirt.
I am so proud of you, Katie. I've never been prouder in my life. That would be an amazing t-shirt. Bring my vacation.
Crippled system. We left an Upper Decker. Yeah.
My brain went on vacation. Left an Upper Decker.
But anyway, in my first game, I played against P-Sky. And the guy who I played actually went 3-0 the first day. So I don't feel so bad. But since I've started, I've always made fun of people who forget to read because I've never done it before. And, like, who would do that? Like, it's so basic. It's, like, number one thing, you read. Forgot to read. Second turn. So that, but he let me read anyway, and then I lost.
Well, that might be why he let you read. Yeah.
Like, yeah. You guys do whatever you want. No, really. Move an extra model or two. It'll be fine, princess.
Well, that's fool's thing.
I know.
I'm offended that you would use that out of context.
I am
sully
so sorry.
His memory.
I am so sorry.
Is he dead?
No. He's dead.
Just in. Fool is dead. No more trace for sale.
But it was E. Kruger against P. Sky, and he took the giant base model, and I can't.
That's a Kraken for those of you who can score it.
Or Kraken. It could be a Wraith engine.
No,
but I know in this case it was Kraken.
I can't push those out of this scenario.
No, you
as
can't.
As it turns out. So that's when I learned that E. Kruger's feet can also be used defensively. Would have been good to learn before that game. But then I got a bye in the second round, and then the third
That's
game.
That's a win.
You got
a
win.
I got a win.
Hell
in
yeah.
The second round.
That's one more win than I got.
Well, technically, you got a bye in the third round.
The drop.
I don't think dropping counts as a bye.
Does sitting in the bar venting about your day count as a bye? Because if so, then he got a
Well, the best
winner.
Part is he came up afterwards and somebody said, "How'd your third game go?" And he go, "Oh, I got a bye."
A self-induced bye is not a win.
You know.
But then my third game was Circle v. Circle. And they took Imorvana and I took Mosar. And I didn't remember my rules worth jack. Like, all of a sudden I had three Getterexes on the table because Stalker's stats are exactly like Getterex stats. And
that's not true! That's
not true. And I changed my list on the way there. It was... I forget all the mistakes that I made, but they were...
You married Jeremy.
Well, yeah. It
we're listening to all of them now for me. Yeah.
Like, I was embarrassed to be seen at that table because of how poorly it went down. It was not good.
Yeah. And I know you mentioned you were kind of mad, too, because, you know, you live up to the stereotype.
Well, girls are bad.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that till now.
Like, wow. Like, and it's unfortunate because I know you're a decent player and you win games and everything like that, but like your opponents, well, I don't know, it depends on the people, but this girl comes up, oh, I'm going to play Circle, and she can't remember to Reeve, and she thinks Gatorexes and Stalkers have the same stats and everything. Isn't she just adorable pretending to play a game?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Wow.
No, I'm saying that's not the case in general.
I remember talking to Lewis, and he told me that was, in fact, the case.
Yeah.
He says she's not that smart.
I'm not that smart. So, I mean, it's true, and now there are witnesses to that.
You're welcome, Lewis.
So then I just played games the rest of the time and got drunk, and that made me feel a lot better.
That bar was super generous, by the way.
It was. So, like...
that's your recommendation, that bar.
Recommendation is that bar. It's like $3 for, like, a drink.
I think it was TRS?
Yeah, but the thing is...
TR's.
TR apostrophe S.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, their definition of drink was very, very different than other bars. Like,
I liked your description of it earlier. You said they pour rum into a cup, and then they show that cup to a bottle of Coke and say, this is what Coke looks like.
And there's your rum and Coke.
Yeah, I ordered a Carson Palmer. I was like, and throw a shot of, I said, do you know, can you make an Arnold Palmer? They're like, yes. And throw a shot of Bombay Sapphire in it. They filled up like 2/3 of the cup.
Yeah.
Like, that's a... shot. Yeah. Right.
So that's my recommendation, that bar.
Yeah.
Well, they had a big deal because I mean they were next to the place, and they go there to the game. There's a back room in the bar. It's always open, so the gamers are always there. So they had special deals going on. But yeah, they were very generous for everything all weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
Although they were pretty frazzled by Sunday.
Yeah, we went in there and they're like, "We're not serving breakfast anymore, and you can't have lunch yet." So there was just like this hour that they were just didn't know what to do.
Pat went up and was like, "Can I get a cheeseburger?" No. Can I get grilled cheese? I'm sorry. Can I get onion rings? No. Can I get cheesy fries? No. They were so done with the weekend. 100 people, like both days, they were just done with it.
Pat's a vegetarian. That's why he was asking for all of it.
Katie was nice enough to buy him a burger, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Katie, did you really?
I forgot. Like, he had told me. And
Ben was very happy with that burger.
I'm sure he was.
Well, he found my $20 and was nice enough to give it back to me.
Your $20.
Your $20. Pat's like, hey, look, I found $20. And Katie's like, hey, I bet that's my money. I don't have any evidence whatsoever, and there's no way to, you know, but sure, give money to me.
Well, she bought everyone but me lunch.
You ordered lunch, and then, like, no. The next day it eventually showed up.
I never got food.
You were
I didn't get jack shit either, for the
record.
Well,
there was four of us at the table. Katie bought food for everyone. Well, not Jim. Jim
had already ordered.
You had ordered first, and Katie ordered for everyone else but me, and then I had to go up, and then they lost my food.
Well, I owed Nathan a drink because he got me a drink, and then I owed Pat a burger because he gave
he just gave you $20 randomly, so he bought a meat.
Wow.
You stole $20 from Pat, so you bought him food he can't eat.
I want to say, grilled cheese at a bar is a really, really good choice. You do not have to be a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Just it's FYI.
True. Yeah, it's true.
Especially if they throw a tomato on it.
Ooh. Okay, that just ruined
it for
me. I've had
that, but I've had it with bacon on it.
I've had grilled cheese with tomato soup all the time, so I guess an actual tomato on the sandwich might be okay.
This bacon idea sounds intriguing.
Yeah, so bacon. I agree with
that. You know what, like a grilled cheese, and then you put like a hamburger patty under it, and then put like ketchup and mustard and like some lettuce and pickles and stuff, and then you call it a burger?
Yeah.
I don't, but I'm saying that's better than just a grilled cheese. Because then
it
has a burger.
I think a grilled cheese
at a dive bar is actually a little bit smarter.
Yeah. Dive bar food can be super good sometimes.
And and it's going to be greasy and delicious, even if it's a grilled cheese, and it's probably not going to make you die like bad meat might. So...
I built up an immunity to bad meat.
There's a place in Madison that has the best French toast.
I was just going to let that one slide.
Mickey's Dairy Bar?
No, it's not Mickey's Dairy Bar.
No, the one that John worked at, like the one place, the stuff.
What?
It's Pot Bellies? Downtown.
Yeah. Ask Keith, you know, the place that John worked for a while.
Yeah, that one. They have really good French toast.
Keith. He's not answering.
He's such an ass.
Fuck you, Keith.
He's too busy hugging the Texans
right
now.
He was like, I'm at work still. It's lame.
Damn it, Keith.
You know, it was nice after talking to John. He was like, the weekend started, you start talking to them, and at the end of the weekend, they gave you a bill
for how much time you spent talking to them, how much you owed them for the help.
Yeah, it was pretty reasonable rates too. Yeah, like it was like, only like $10 or $12 an hour.
They gave you a receipt. You said 25 words to me on day two, so that's only $7. You know.
That's why I'm mentioning Keith as many times as possible now to offset it. Because if the going rate's $10 per mention, Keith to Keith, Keith to Keith, Keith to Keith, Keith.
So now you owe you some money.
Keith to Keith. Keith.
Anywho. That's my battle report.
Thanks, Keith.
You're welcome.
So are we just going around anti-Wittershins?
Well, let's save those two for last. Well,
okay, so we are going
anti-Wittershins. We started with me. We went Wittershins once. Then we went back anti-Wittershins, skipping me again.
Oh, so we're going.
So it should go back to Andy.
We're going Wittershins to Andy.
Well, Wittershins three spots, and then we'll anti-Wittershins four.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll stay.
And then we'll stay Wittershins.
We'll save you. Yeah.
Exactly. Fucking English.
Then we'll go turnwise and then Hubward.
We just lost.
Let's make up
listeners.
The random directions.
What are you talking about? Wittershins, anti-Wittershins.
You explained this last
turn
week.
Turnwise and Hubward.
Fuck it.
Haven't you ever lived on Discworld?
Nope.
Oh, you should. It's a good place.
I watched the BBC made for...
There's like four of those now. I got them on my Insta-queue because they did Hogfather and they did Going Postal.
There's a character in this book named Wittershins.
Nice. Does he turn that direction?
I don't know.
Just constantly just spinning?
Like Zoolander?
Zoolander... Wittershins or anti-Wittershins?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
I think he couldn't do Wittershins.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So he was the anti-Wittershins.
Makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, totally.
It's symbolic. It's like Christ imagery.
Three of our three listeners got that joke. No, our listeners, 80 of them got it.
We have 80 listeners?
Like,
speaking
all
of our
listeners,
did anyone check our like our email?
We
or anything
do. We don't
between?
Have time. We have a lot of emails and some comments to go over. But
there's
I figured
really,
with,
really
all
good
these,
ones.
With all these reports, we
that'll be
have
next
time
week.
For
speaking of reports,
hey Travis, remember how last week we said we were going to talk about your topic this week because it was so good? Ha! No,
no, I responded to Travis. I told him we would remember to forget about it next week.
Okay. I told him that too. Yeah.
And
I think we said that on the episode.
So Travis, here we go as we pass over to Andy's reports on the weekend.
My battle reports, I actually participated in all three of the matches, unlike some others.
only Nathan so far has...
Yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess that's
I don't
true.
To drop. The thing is,
Ben drafted, but he's not here.
Oh, yeah, Ben, but, you know.
Yeah. My first match was against Lance. He was he's the editor of the Muse at Minis podcast. It was iRusk versus Doomshaper. I pretty much grinded it out to a final halt. I ended up winning on a scenario in there. My second game was against Brian Finken, who went 3-0 first day, and he was up there in the final 16. Lost to him. I thought I did fairly well. Had the game actually gone, it went to dice down, but had the game actually gone like an extra 2 minutes, I would have actually killed him with Jarl.
You would have killed Brian?
Yeah, I would have killed Brian with Jarl.
Like Brian.
Usually no. That only happens with Nail.
Yeah. No, but it was...
You know, I hear Nail is a game within a game.
Oh, my God. I'm not...
That's what Beanish told me.
Can I finish?
No.
No. Yes, but it was Jarl versus DeNegra 1, and I felt like I weathered the storm pretty well, but I still lost the scenario to Dice Down, though. Then my last game was against Happy Matt, and unfortunately, my frustrations from previous game, I may have hurt his galleon.
He's the nicest person ever.
He is the nicest person ever.
And
he's super happy.
Like hurt him.
Oh, my God. It was a glorious story.
Brad Pitt's attractive, which I disagree with. I'm not even gay, and I think Brad Pitt's hot.
No, I tend to agree with him.
Really?
Really?
Well, I suppose, like, in Snatch. I don't know, maybe it's just the Irish brogue, but... Never mind.
We had this conversation.
We did have this conversation. I'm flabbergasted. Anybody could not think Brad Pitt and Snatch is an attractive man.
But anyway, so my... that was the last game, so I won my last game there. And then for the rest of the weekend, I ended up running Who's the Boss. We had 40 folks doing that. That was a lot of fun.
That went three rounds?
Three rounds, yep. Yeah. I'm too tired to talk about it now.
Yes, you're really selling up the excitement. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Who's the boss? And there were like 40 people or something.
Couldn't be happier.
Nobody from Madison even participated in Who's the Boss.
Special guest host Stephen Wright.
Hey, Mole helped you out quite a bit.
Yeah, Mole helped.
The rest to be fair, we've played a lot of Who's the Boss, so
yeah, that's you could have. Could have made it bigger.
We want to give other people the opportunity to play.
There was a cap at 64.
I wanted to win a scepter. Oh.
That's the thing, is there was a scepter of Zavendor that needed to be triumphed.
There was a free spoon.
Somebody win the free spoon?
Nobody won the free spoon.
Somebody did win the scepter.
Yeah. Hey, courtesy of Perkins.
Yes.
So maybe Perkins should probably pay us on our podcast for mentioning them.
Yes. Or maybe no.
Oh, wait. I mean, Andy didn't steal that spoon from Perkins.
No. No, not at all.
The free spoon could also refer to, like, you'll spoon with them once, free of charge.
I thought that's what it was for. I thought it was redeemable later for that.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. No. I'm not spooning with Jeff.
You're missing out.
I want a spoon, too.
Hey. Jordan has a spoon, too. Would you spoon with Jordan?
Jordan?
No.
Yes. Spoon with triple Jordan. Spoon.
No. Oh, my God. Pat, speaking of spooning. that's the quote of the weekend. Somebody was like, well, who was spooning with who? And Pat was like, I was the kitchen sink because all the spoons went there.
Wow.
So good job, Pat. Also,
for those unaware, Pat and Nate shared a bed in my room on the second night. There was some nice mumbling and groans, and I didn't get much sleep.
And the night before,
neither did we.
One of the conversations from the night before was, how much would it take for you to give a hand job? And apparently in the morning, Nate said to Pat that he owes him $20. So we got the answer, I think.
That's coincidence and unrelated.
Oh, it was an unrelated coincidence.
Yes.
It was ironic.
So to quickly give my recommendation would be a small miniature game put out by Impact Miniatures. It's called Dunger Derby. Go look it up. DUNGERDERBY.
What would be your target audience for that?
Well, it's for kids, but drunk adults can play it pretty well too.
Drunk adults are kids.
It's, if your mind is at the condition of a 4-year-old, you're playing Dunger Derby.
It's racing pigs. Take pigs and race them around a track. You have to try to keep them under control, but you'll almost never do. And hijinks
ensue.
There
might be a little bit of randomness in that game.
Maybe.
I did a good job of not at all talking about my recommendation. I just did what it was and moved on.
I don't even remember what your recommendation was.
Little team manager.
Well, yeah. People know what that is. Nobody knows what Dunger Derby is.
That is true. Impact Miniatures isn't quite a big company.
But that's my recommendation. Check them out. They're impactminiatures.com, and it's a hilarious game.
Makers of Elf Bowl.
Yeah, they do make Elf Bowl. Yep. And other Blood Bowl-related materials.
Elf Ball is Blood Bowl related? I never noticed that.
Elf Ball is not Blood Bowl related, but they do make a lot of alternative teams that you can purchase from them.
Fantasy-style football.
Yes.
Not internet fantasy football.
Correct.
Paraphernalia.
Yes. So that's it for there. So off to the two winners of our...
Spoiler alert.
Five knots anti-Wittershins.
Oh, Jesus.
He is like a stupid... You have a variety of different styles.
There should be fantasy football. Can you set up the, can you set up the cyanide version of Blood Bowl to have two teams just AI face each other?
No, you have real teams face each other, but you pick players from those teams on a different internet site. And you see, like, you have a Blood Bowl league.
Of actual people?
With actual people.
Because that requires too many people.
And then you have unrelated people pick players in that league.
Because I was wondering if alternately just we could have the AI play against itself and we can still do the same thing. Because either way, it's the same to us. We have no control over it.
We could do this. We could, if we would actually play the game.
No.
No. The idea is to not play it. The idea is to watch other people
play. Have us play Blood Bowl and have somebody else pick up the fantasy teams.
But he wants to pick the fantasy teams.
Yes.
Yes. I agree with that. I'm on board with that part of it.
Yeah, I would do like fantasy football, but on like Skavens and Orcs and stuff, and then not actually play Blood Bowl.
I don't get it.
I'd enjoy it.
Fantasy football.
Yeah.
So, tournament.
I was trying to save all of us from gym talking.
Yes.
He's going to give away some gym talk. It's his game after the reports that are more exciting.
Yeah, my report's pretty sad, so I'm just going to get that out of the way
right off the bat.
You
lost to somebody embarrassing.
Yeah.
I lost to people, and it was embarrassing.
Shocking.
I rolled my casters, and I rolled Osion, who I keep wanting to say was Raven, because that's who I wanted to play. But... and Kalissa, so I played Osion and Kalissa, not Raven and Kalissa. So if you hear me say Raven later, it was Osion. So the first matchup I played against a Crix player, and his two lists were either Scar, Peace Gar, that is, or Three Lich. And I chose Ossian because I was afraid of Peace Gar's armor on her feet turn. And then after we started the game, he didn't have Peace Gar, and I realized all of our troops were Mecha Thralls. So I probably didn't really have to be afraid of the armor.
I don't know. 17 armor Mecha Thralls can't be stopped.
Probably would have gotten eaten alive by Banshees and Crickets. So I didn't take Kalissa, and he did take Elitch, Three Lich. And about 4 minutes into the game, I realized that I'd made a horrible, horrible mistake. And I couldn't do anything with any of my army for 9 turns, and at the end, I somehow killed Elitch to the point.
So, with, like, your last 3 remaining models.
Yeah, I had 4 models left. Ossian, a Hulkans, a single surviving Mage Hunter Strike Force member, and Ayana. Ayana harmed the Three Lich. Ossian shot him with a spell. Hulkan shot him with a spell. And then the Mage Hunter Strike Force survived a free strike to hit Three Lich in the face and then just got him to the exact point.
Wow.
So all's well that ends well. That was my magnificent win, which didn't feel very good. The next game I played against somebody I don't remember. They weren't very good. But the first turn, I didn't put Kalissa under my Artificer bubble. So she was only defense 16, and I gave him a Quicken My Banshee and advance to shoot your caster and knock her down. He had, and not slam her more than 1 inch, so he had about a bad chance of getting me, but I shouldn't have given it to him. And he did get me, and I've got a phone call.
You'll just have to hold the pole.
Hang on just a second.
This could be important. Let's all listen in.
Hey, can I call you back in like 30 seconds? Sorry.
Podcasting.
Thanks. Bye. I made sure to do that in the mic so you can enjoy it. So that was awesome.
Is that my mom again?
Okay. And then that was Nate's mom. I'm going to be over there in about 10 minutes.
So you'll be back here in 15.
My third game, yes. It's about a 4-minute drive. Sure. My third game was against a Signar player who had either double Stormwall or Ekane, and I chose Ossian because double Stormwall, and he took Ekane because Ossian. I had most of his army dead, and then it was the end of my second turn, and he already had most of his army dead. And then I realized, oh, crap, he's playing for Scenario, and I didn't contest the zone. So it was a dominate zone, and he did have his caster towed into it, so I lost a point. And then he proceeded to get 4 points by killing a destruction thing and dominating his own and clearing his own. So I lost with him having like 10 models left. So, yeah, it was bad.
And that's a rare thing for one thing that we play along, you very rarely forget what scenario. So it was one of those rare moments in time.
Yeah, well, it was Signar Ekane, and I just hadn't played that scenario before to understand the destruction thing. The worst part about it is I had Ossian's feet up.
Not a lot of the scenarios you can score 4. Like, most of them cap at 3.
Right.
That one's very unique.
I realized it the moment after I activated the model that was going to be able to contest and stop it. And it was pretty upsetting. The other thing is I could have just moved Ossian with his feet up to the destruction marker thing. And with Ossian's feet up, Ekane can't kill the destruction marker. So I made a horrible, horrible mistake. I felt really terrible. Katie put me on timeout.
I did.
And that was great. So I was so mad at myself that I decided to challenge Keith to a game after he finished the first round of the other tournament so I could lose terribly and really feel bad. But instead, Raven completely, completely housed him. So that was awesome.
What caster was he playing?
He was playing E. Denny. So I'm going to go into detail on this one just for Keith.
You're welcome, Keith.
Yeah, so
Keith.
Yeah, so that'll be $10. So I rolled to go first, and against Edeni, I chose to go first because
that's what you do.
I'm not that dumb. So I went first. I moved my army up into position, And then Keith decided he would run all of his Satrix Raiders. I think they're a newer model, Satrix Raiders, into melee with my troopers, specifically my shooty troopers, the Mage Hunter Strike Force. He moved some other random stuff up. He had like Nis Hunters and some other non-Satrix chicks, whatever.
Like an all-female army.
It was pretty much an all-female army.
Blood Witches, you mean? Or...
Sure.
Non-Satrix, yeah, okay.
Yeah, non-Satrix and Satrix. He had both flavors. So he had my Mage Hunter Strike Force all engaged. He had a bunch of high defense troopers behind them. And he was like, okay, let's see what you can do. So I killed off all of the things engaging my Strike Force, and then Raven feeded, and all the Strike Force.
Guys?
I used Hulk Hands. I used Halberdiers to clear Hulk Hands. Hulk Hands walked around, killed one, beat back, killed one. Then the Banshee came up. I gave it two focus. It went boost hit, boost hit. I think I also used Raven to kill one. And then quick work out and killed the... she killed one and then quick work out killed the UA, so they all lost force barrier. Nice. Then I had my feet already up from Raven earlier in the turn. My Strike Force walked out and blew up all of his Nis. So he lost all of his Satrix and all of his Nis. Some of them aimed and shot the last couple Satrix that were engaging Iris to free up Iris. My Cricket slammed his Arc Node into a wall. And he was very, very, very sad. And that's time to tell your opponent they can take their turn. So he would have gotten housed even worse, but my Strike Force failed a command check the next turn, and I did give him a try with E. Denny on a full camp Raven, but he was not successful. And the game ended with Raven cutting her head off, so it was wonderful. So that was my highlight of the weekend. And the second highlight was Scepter of Zavendor. So I guess we can do that as the recommend. I played a kobold who made gems and dominated everybody else.
Kobold Sapphire strategy. Yeah. Just going full hog in.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
It's 11 sapphires. It's good enough income.
Mm-hmm. People were really happy at the end of the game.
Pat had one emerald, and that was like his entire income. That's not so good. Like, if you're, like, I know he was the mage, so he's got the artifact discount, but that doesn't mean sell all your gems to buy artifacts that don't make money for you.
Yeah, I don't think we properly explain income is building economy to him.
Well, I did say this is an economy building game first and foremost, and here's how you get money. And
you got to play the game once to understand.
Okay. Yeah,
I also
that's
said
true.
That. You're going to lose horribly your first game, and then your second game you'll know how to play.
Which
you'll
never play. Never
so
play.
By so losing horrible, you mean tie the person that owns the game, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I didn't play very well that game. I tried to strategy. Like, I did. I never can successfully transition from Witch into Ruby.
I'm terrible at that game, and I got second somehow.
Yeah, I know. You did pretty well. You're all worried about being in the lead at the beginning, but you did all right. I'm not good with the Witch. Every time I pull the Witch, I just fuck it up.
I'm terrible, terrible at bidding games, and that game has some bidding elements to it, but I'm
But it's an economy building game first and foremost,
right.
And that you have control over.
Right.
Also, you got two masks, so you won.
Ha.
Yeah, but you made us keep going for like four turns.
I thought maybe this would be the one time that two masks wasn't auto win.
You were like,
I was
if
wrong.
Somebody gets two masks, we're just going to end the game because then they auto win. And then he got two masks, and you're like, well, let's just play it out and see what happens.
I was really happy with that because I got to watch them get mopier and mopier and mopier as I kept steamrolling more and more and more and more. So
yeah.
That was awesome.
Nathan had fuzzy math going on his head. He's like,
I did not have fuzzy math.
He had accountant math.
I was drunk.
I was trolling you there.
I know. I had been drinking.
It was great because this is a game with a lot of math, and the accountant's like, I don't know how to math.
In my defense, had been drinking.
That's your defense. I don't think that works like in like a malpractice suit or whatever. In my defense, I had been drinking.
I had a Carson Palmer so strong that it tasted only like Bombay Sapphire. Before that game,
I am a bigger lightweight than anyone else.
I think we were forgetting,
except for maybe Jordan.
It's much like the way they make drinks there. All you have to do is show Katie a bottle of liquor and she gets drunk.
Saturday night, we were playing Blood Bowl Team Manager. She drank her one drink. She turns to me and goes, Brian, I'm drunk. I'm like, you had one. She's like, yep. And then
so,
Glenn kicked her ass.
Yeah. She was like 4 feet tall, to be fair.
Yeah, so my tournament wasn't horrible, but my side games were pretty enjoyable. It's always good to play Keith again. That's why you should move back to Madison.
Yep. Did he charge you?
Yep.
Yeah, how much does it cost for a game with Keith?
I think if you beat him, they can't ask.
Okay, because I wondered if docking was involved in the price, but...
Wow, that's just a normal thing.
Oh, okay.
That's just part of the game. That's the warm-ups.
Well, if you're not docking, you're not trying.
That's another T-shirt logo.
Who won Raw?
Raw! I did.
You won? Oh, yeah, you had like 48 fucking points.
Yeah.
Speaking of being good at a game, I'm really good at that one, too. I might have.
If by good, you mean the worst person ever.
She might have quintupled me.
Yeah. She had it with 48, and you had like 9.
I was seriously at one point thinking I was going to have 0 points at the end of the game. Yeah, and only because you can't go negative.
It is said that both me and Jim were excited not to have 0 points.
Yeah.
Whenever you're feeling bad, just play. If you ever want to just beat on me or Jim, just pull in a bidding game, and you're gonna just womp us.
And I'll play Ra
in general, but man, does Ra kick the crap out of you?
Yeah, I'm horrible at it. So
it's a great game, though.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll still play it anytime, but I just go into it expecting to completely lose, so I even gamble even worse, and then I get crushed even worse.
It's fast and fun, so losing like a 30-40 minute game isn't too bad. If it lose every time, it was a 5 hour game, it would be fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't play that game if it took more than 45 minutes because I'd never have any chance anyway. So,
right,
terrible.
Anywho.
So, I think we're going over to the other Valiant on the forums.
The other Valiant, yeah. All right, so I'll go next.
He has 5 pages of notes, by the way, everybody. This is going to be
I write down all of my games.
And I'm yawning.
Oh, my God, he does have...
All
five
I read that,
pages of notes.
The notes, yawning. The notes are mostly the list I played against. I'm not going to like read through the list. Anyway,
you're going to list every model that you've played.
No,
against.
I'm not going to list it. I write this down for my notes for my tracking. So anyway, God, I hate you all so much. So round one, I sat down against somebody I at least didn't know. His name was Adam, nice enough guy, but I hadn't seen him in a tournament or played against him before. He was running P. Gatsby. Well, at least he chose P. Gatsby, and I sat down with Ossian. So things went fairly well. Not fantastic, but fairly well. But partway through the game, what really he got a really good Excarnate off, and it was really unfortunate for me. And then the next turn, he was going to get
I thought he was P. Gatsby,
or not? No, an actual Bilethral Purge on me. Like he walked into it. So anyway,
I like how Excarnate is code for any bad Bilethral Purge.
No, I got the Excarnate was a later game. So anyway, but then but P. Gatsby was also doing like some pretty good work, and he got in some damage on the feet. All right. Got in some good damage on the feet. So then the next turn after the feet, he was like, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to kill some stuff again and then teleport out. So he charges in with Gatsby up next to his model and says, I'm going to, and I didn't even let him get it out. I was like, no, you're not. You're within 5 inches of my Banshee. And he goes, oh.
And then Jeremy said, stand there and take it.
I didn't say that. I was trying to be nice.
Welcome to Painville, bitch.
Because he's like, oh, well, I guess I won't cast that spell. Okay, so I teleport and I look at him and I go, that's still a spell. And he goes, oh, shit. So the only thing he hadn't activated was like 50 miles behind the Lich. So he ran them forward and they like almost reached the Lich. The Banshee predictably walked up 5 inches, headbutt the Lich down, hit him with a sword. I didn't quite get the grievous wounds just for funsies, but I did like take him down to like 7 health, and then my entire army shot him.
Good job headbutting, by the way. Yeah. Most people would just start attacking with their heavy and hope they hit enough times.
Hell
but
no.
Actually thinking to headbutt and have your army finish it off is...
And I hadn't even Ossian feeded yet. Like, I was science
feeding
just
for in general, just doing the headbutt, you know, like, people
awesome.
Like, put 3 focuses on the heavy and just attack, and
I
the headbutt can be better.
I think every time that you do something like stop a teleporting caster, with you should be able to just turn on a high-five. Like,
I do need to, like, on that particular Banshee, like, get a little stamp that's like a picture of, like, a teleporting caster and just stamp him every time he stops him from teleporting away.
Right.
Because it's awesome.
There's a picture of teleporting, like, with the red circle and the X on it.
Yeah, at some point in the tournament, I didn't make a note which game, somebody definitely had an entire unit and like, well, at least 7 of the like remaining 9 guys within 5 inches of the Banshee, and they were like, and we charge, and I go, nope. Those 2 guys over there in the back can charge. The rest of them are going
to
dirtle around.
To be fair, the Banshee can
said,
go fuck itself.
Stand there and take it.
The Banshee what?
I hate the Banshee.
It's so good.
Fuck that thing.
It's so good. So then game 2,
at least
played
it doesn't have like a knockdown gun or
no,
something.
No, because that would just be broken.
Yeah.
So game 2.
Only does knockdown against heavies.
Yeah, that's true. It's technically a momentum gun.
Oh.
So my second game, spoiler alert, momentum might have come into play. I sat down against this guy. He's a pretty good rep player. You know, he's done some stuff. Most of his really good ideas he gets from Beanish or Keith, but he occasionally has some good tech. Anyway, I played Jim, and he pretty much already talked about how that game went. He got a little too far for it. He was actually – what he forgot to mention was he was really excited because Kalissa did shoot Nail, which I think he thought – I thought Nail was safe because nothing could shoot her. I don't know. But he definitely went right where I wanted him to in order to shoot Nail, and then I got lucky on the shot. He also did have Wish Nailer about 2.5 inches behind his caster, so I'd have been really okay with a 3-inch slam too to kill Wish Nailer, knock down Kalissa, and do a bunch of damage. So either way, I'd have been okay with it. What?
And then the game would have been over in my favor as well.
Possibly. I think I'd have still gotten a couple of the May Turner.
Killing Wish Nailer and doing a few damage to her doesn't win.
It would have been more than a couple of damage.
Yeah.
Because I get the additional die from slamming into the same size. I still could have gotten three Mage Hunters on her. So anyway, it would have been pretty good either way, I think. But I definitely killed him dead because I slammed him 1 inch. So round three.
Now you're excited because, you know, 3-0 means you can.
Yeah, so I. 2-0. Yeah, I was 2-0. But I was.
I mean, he's going into round three.
Yeah, round three, I was pretty stoked.
Had a few 3-0s. We had you and we had Pat. Oh.
No, a few 2-0s. So yeah, I definitely got paired up against Pat, which was really lame. I felt really bad when I got paired against Pat because we were both the only two in our flight left at 2-0 for Madison. So.
And Pat's from Milwaukee, but he was playing with us. You're able to play for a store close by.
So yeah, he does live close by.
He lives in Milwaukee. He's from Madison.
So yeah, that's
just
true.
To clarify.
Yeah, fair enough.
And he's a cool guy.
But yeah, he is a really cool guy. And so the funny part was Pat and I, at the last Milwaukee tournament we played, he played not P. Morgul versus Rhett. And afterwards, I sat down with him and I was like, look, if you played your P. Morgul list, I didn't have an answer in either of my lists that had even a chance of killing you. P. Morgul just wrecks Rhett's day. So he was like, well, I know which list I'm playing. And I was like, and we sat down and I pulled out my Ron list and I said, by the way, I changed the Ron list because we talked about how good P. Morgul is against Rhett. And I needed an answer to P. Morgul.
So you tricked him into playing the wrong list against you.
So in his words, I mind tricked him.
So he chose his opponent's list and then gamed against it.
To be fair,
good job, Jeremy.
It's Pat's own fault because let's phrase this another way. Pat took Jeremy's advice in War Machine.
That is true.
Against
then he lost.
Jeremy.
Well, it doesn't matter who against. Like if Jeremy's like, I think you should do this, and you agree with it, you're an idiot.
Now, to be fair, I changed my list on the way there based off of Jeremy's advice.
And did really well with it.
You didn't win any games?
Another t-shirt logo.
Hey, I took Jeremy's advice and lost my game is a running theme.
Also, to be fair, going into this tournament, my goal was to win my first round game because I didn't expect to win again the rest of the week. So I was pretty stoked to even make 2-0. So we played. He played P. Morgul with just a shit ton of beasts. The only non-beasts were an Agonizer and 2 Min Beast Handler units. He just had shit tons of beasts.
Classic Morgul list.
Yeah, classic P. Morgul list. By partway through the game, he had lost 2 Bronze Backs and a Sentry, and I had lost 1 Phoenix. Things did not go well for him from there. So at the very end of the game, he was chasing Ron around. Ron was running away like a little girl from P. Morgul himself, while the rest of my army tried desperately to kill Morgul while failing. And then at the very end, I got some lucky dice. I had a Mage Hunter or a Battle Mage charge him, hit him on boxcars, and then roll like 6-6-4 for damage, which was fantastic since the only transfer target he had was a 4 health remaining, whatever the other
shaman.
Elephant was. No, a gladiator.
Oh, it's a gladiator.
Yeah.
He had a shaman somewhere.
So he transferred 4 of it, and he didn't even transfer it because it killed. It left him at 1 health. So it's like, well, I might as well just take it and hope nobody else hits me. So my gladiator's still alive.
Right.
That did not work out for him because then my Phoenix came over. And pro tip, Phoenix, you should really combust. If you can walk over to someone who's super high to hit, you should combust.
Yes.
I chose not to do that because I'm bad at the game and instead tried to hit him with 2 boosted attacks.
I just told you how smart it was to not try that with your heavies.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, everybody else here just said how good taking Jeremy's advice was.
Yep.
So he should have taken...
Not my own advice. I should have combusted. I did not, but I got lucky and I managed to hit him with the Phoenix game over because he could only transfer 4 damage, and a Phoenix tends to do more than 4 damage to Morgul when it hits. So that was my game 3, which
was
awesome.
Day 1, complete.
Day 1, well, sort of day 1. That was to get into Masters, but you did play the first game of Masters still on the first day. It was actually kind of brutal. I've never done well in a tournament, so I've never really experienced playing 4 games back-to-back. Right. It kind of sucks. Like
four games in the winning bracket.
Yeah, in the winning bracket, no dinner. No, like I ran over and got a burger in between games 2 and 3 because Jim died so fast, thankfully. So I had at least had lunch, thanks to Jim's generosity. Yeah, red on red is going to be fast. But like no dinner, it was brutal. Not something I was prepared for. So my fourth game, I played against a guy named Matt Millar, who was pretty cool. I actually forgot to write down where he was from, but he was a cool guy. We played Supply and Demand. The scenario where you can score the zone and you can, what is it, blow up the objective?
Sure, why not?
I think it is.
Yeah.
So anyway, he played Vindictus, and I played Ossian, and he beat the ever-loving shit out of me. Important note, Masters was Death Clock. He beat the ever-loving shit out of me for exactly an hour. And after an hour, I had one Stormfall left, standing in the zone, contesting that last control point he needed to win. And I won.
Yeah, if he had literally two more seconds, he wins the game.
Yeah, because I had two Stormfall left when he had 3 seconds left. His caster ran up, and as he was making the attack to kill the first one, time ran out.
And well, actually, the bigger issue is that you had two Stormfall when he had 10 seconds left.
Yes.
And he spent 5 of those seconds trying to kill one of them with Acquire.
Yes.
When he had a Bastion next to one of them and a caster next to the other.
So he had a unit of Bastions next to one and a caster next
to
the other.
So the unit of Bastions kills one, and then his caster kills the other, and he doesn't waste time with Acquire, and you aren't undefeated.
Yeah. But he did definitely beat the ever-loving shit out of me for exactly an hour and then lose.
That's kind of like a prize, you know, beat on Jeremy for exactly 60 minutes.
That should be in our Kickstarter. Just savagely abuse Jeremy for 1 hour.
You could just show up to a tournament and not have to pay.
Also, play him in War Machine and beat him. Also, it was pretty funny watching the Madison people watching that game because we were all noticed the clock and we're like, crap, we have to walk away before somebody notices us noticing the clock. So we were all like walking 7 hours away and be like, oh my God, he's going to win on death clock. And then coming back to watch more and taking one glance at the clock and then running away again.
Casually looking over
there.
Yeah.
And like there's all these people around. Like the Madison people are like flowing in and out, and then more and more people just start gathering. And it's like his fiance's there and his friends. And I'm just waiting for one whispered comment to tip him off because he just didn't notice. Like his next to last turn, he was like, he acted like he had all the time in the world. And he did not. He had 6 minutes.
Some people don't play like that. I mean, we have the advantage. We play like a death clock, so we're getting more and more used to the urgency.
But, So, really,
hey,
really good game.
A win is a win.
Really good game. Really good opponent.
You make top. Top 8 of a 90-person tournament.
That's true.
I heard your second day went equally well
second
to your
day
first.
Went gloriously.
I knew what it's time for a second because your first day wasn't done. I'm going to throw out this topic because we got an email. Somebody was happy we talked about this topic once before, and I want to bring it up again. You also got to have raunchy hotel sex the first day.
I think that's inappropriate, and you shouldn't.
It's appropriate as long as Jeremy talks about it.
Right.
Oh, right.
Katie, you aren't allowed to talk Katie about can't having talk about sex. It's wrong for women to have sex.
Yep. Well, no, specifically with their husbands.
Right.
Yes.
That explains day two.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, yeah, it was a good day for me.
You also, you're... That was your...
Is that also your recommendation?
My recommendation is to make it to Masters and bring your wife with you when you do.
You had mentioned, wasn't your resolution to make a Master? Like,
my resolution, so I originally had thought about making my resolution qualifying for War Machine Weekend in 2013. And I backed off of it before we podcasted our resolutions because I was like, that would be great and all, but... And so I made my resolution to make a Masters event, which I've now done. I'm now going to try to actually do well in a Masters event. Spoiler alert, day two. So I am going to try to do better than I did here. But
you were, top eight undefeated in a 90% event, which meant every person in the top eight is going to be having some level of a decent level of skill going on.
Oh there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was great. It was really cool.
So day two, did your mind?
So day two,
when I really, leave a Upper Decker.
Actually, my day two, the my first game. So I knew who my opponent was. We all knew who our opponents were the night before, or at least anybody who asked John, he was willing to tell you. And I knew I was playing against Krios, I knew I was playing against a Menoth player.
Jordan from Chicago,
yep. Back. Who had both Krios, P. Krios, and Harbinger. And I suspected he would go P. Krios just based on the matchup because I had Ossian. We talked about it quite a bit. I think I talked with Jim about it a bit. I talked with all the other guys that had good advice. And then I promptly immediately forgot all of Jim's advice as soon as the game started. So that went well for me.
Extremely, extremely true. I walked over by the game. I was like, oh.
Yeah. So Jim's advice was play cautiously, stay back, don't push too far forward against Pete Krios because he will murder your whole army. I pushed too far forward. I did kill the Errants to a man before they were able to do any damage. He had Crow's Cutthroats. I killed like 8 of those before he ever even like got to do anything with them. Like I was doing really well, but I pushed too far forward to do it. And so when he feeded, he killed my army almost in its entirety. And as an added bonus, my caster. He almost didn't kill my caster. Attrition started really well for me and then started to go really badly for me. And I could tell he was just going to push my shit in. So I had Ossian on 6 focus in a fairly good position. And I was like, clearly he never goes for the assassination here. So I intentionally cast Admonition to taunt him into feeding.
which he did. I mean, I got what I wanted, and it was we mathed it out. He had about almost exactly a 50-50 chance to kill me, which he actually accidentally made worse by moving a zealot of his own into the firing range. So one of his reckoner shots had to actually kill his own zealot, which worked out for me. But it still, he managed to get average dice did kill me, and he rolled actually a little bit better than average dice. But even average dice killed me. So that was the end of my hot streak, sadly.
And, well, I mean, you identified the fact that attrition was going badly, so you gave him the only possible avenue that if he failed, you could have potentially won.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, in order to take that try, he even said that he could have gone cautiously and gone for attrition. But in order to give that try, he moved Krios immediately next to Nail, then knocked Nail down. And I had enough of my army and my feet left that does he not kill Ossian there? Ossian shakes, Banshee shakes. Ossian goes up, feats, puts the bubble around him, Banshee slams him, and the Nail chops his head off.
Right.
Like, that just happens. So, I mean, I had my shot. So, game six.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a 90% chance you lose on attrition, then giving him the 50-50 shot is better math for
that
you.
That was
so.
Kind of what I figured.
How would Nail stand up and kill him?
Because he was in a forest. So the odds of him slamming away from Nail's reach range was very, very low.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, he was in a forest. He'd stepped into a forest for some concealment, which with boosted shots probably wasn't going to matter.
I just figured Nail would be out of melee range.
Yeah, if he wasn't in a forest, the odds are high that he would be. He was actually like base to base with Nail. So even not in a forest, I'd have to roll a 6 or a 5 to push him away from Nail.
I want you to tell the audience what turn you realized attrition was going badly for you in our game.
In our game? Turn 1? No, yeah, I was playing Rhett against Kalissa. That's never happy. Like, it's just not. So, game 6, I sat down against Brian Finken. Actually, one of you guys said you, Brian?
Yeah, played.
No.
I played against Brian.
So, Brian Finken.
I played against Brian.
Really cool guy. He won it's not the popularity contest. It's like the Sportsman Award or whatever at War Machine Weekend. But he's a really, really cool guy, obviously, because you have to be to win that award.
Well, that's not true. Fat Asian won it once.
Okay, so most people to win that award have to be pretty cool.
And he won it by getting a girls' soccer team to go up to John and ask him for their autographs.
No, that's not true.
Shut up.
God damn it.
Well, that would be a good reason to win
you
it.
You can never tell when you're trolling or just an idiot. At least Jeremy's always dumb and,
I'm consistent.
Yeah. Or, Danny's always trolling. No, yeah. That's not true.
No, not true. So I sat down. He had Elitch and do you remember what his other list was, Andy? I didn't write it down because it wasn't the one he played. Elitch and something.
Elitch okay. And Denny.
Denegar, okay.
Denegar spoiler, won. By the way, there was 90-some players, and I think there was 74 Egaspies.
Yeah, there were a lot of Egaspies.
74 and 75 Egaspies.
There were four in the top 16, four Egaspi players.
Four or five.
Yeah, there were a lot in the top 16. So anyway, he sat down. He pulled out Elitch. I played Ron. So the game went fantastically for me. I, on Jim's recommendation, had added Nis Hunters to my list, and they rolled lights out, and the 11 Nis killed 10 Bane Knights in a turn, which turns out is really, really good for you. And then just the whole game was going really, really well for me. I was crushing one side of it. We were playing outflank, which is the two side-by-side circles. One side of the table was just all me. He had, a chicken, and I had my army. And the other side, he couldn't kill a Phoenix, he couldn't kill a unit of Battle Mages, and so he just couldn't score it. Everything's going great for me. Lich goes up and feats to kill my two Phoenixes, one of whom had Polarity Shield on it. And he puts all his models down, and he starts to move one towards the Phoenix, and I say, you can't charge the Phoenix. And he goes, and he had Tartarus next to that Phoenix to give it Dark Shroud, and he had one Bane Thrall to go after the other Phoenix. And he goes, oh, well, crap. And I go, yeah. And so then his Bane Thrall and
that's a great response, yeah.
So the other five that were targeted, the other Phoenix, all go into it. And leave it at 5 health. So Elitch's feat killed exactly nothing.
That's not good for a...
That's very bad for the Elitch player. Even worse for the Elitch player is when he feated and then immediately started moving all of those models, which means you're done activating Egaspi. As Keith told him after the game, that's why we write teleport on our hand when we play Egaspi. So Gaspi's standing very, very near a Phoenix. I have Eris in the list. And I have Ron, who hasn't feeded yet. This is an obvious, my Phoenix walks over and chops off Lich's head. I was doing so well on scenario on the right side of the board that I was like, oh, I'd rather just score this zone and go up to 4 points to zero and then, win.
Except, instead of just winning now?
Well, I was trying in my head to quickly do the math on whether I could definitely kill Elitch. And it was probably, but not definite. And I could... quote-unquote, in my mind, definitely clear the zone.
And you're, I mean, if you're up if you go up 4-0 and Elish is defeated, he's lost many, many of his tools. So in theory, yeah. it seems safe. If your assassination's iffy, that seems like a logical way.
Because the thing is, to go after the Lich, if I failed, I was standing next to his unit of Bane Thralls with both my Phoenixes. And then both my Phoenixes die, and then bad things happen to me.
By the way, I'm glad we gave Jordan a microphone. He's been a wand of knowledge.
We're saving the best for last.
Well, he's just been like stand there smiling and wiggling his eyebrows at me most of the time.
Suggestively.
Yeah. You know, I just looked over and go,
So anyway, sorry. So anyway, I didn't kill him, and then I failed needing a 9 to move the last... It was a chicken in like 4 models, and I failed a TK to move a chicken out of the zone, so I didn't go up to 4 points. So the next turn, even though I got up to 4 points... Things went badly, and he managed to beat me. He managed to get enough stuff into the zone to contest it. He managed to finally clear his zone, and he beat me 6-4. And I probably should have just killed Elitch. Lesson learned.
Well, maybe.
I needed a 9 on 3 dice.
When you fight an Elitch player, even when they're down, you're going to have that one moment where you're going to get ahead. And if that one moment doesn't work, you're going to lose a game. Because Elitch has an advantage. So you saw your moment. You tried to roll a 9.
Yep.
You failed at a 9.
Everything else that I needed to clear out of the zone was super easy. It was a chicken on a hill. And I missed the 9.
Yeah.
So shit happens.
I saw that. You rolled a 6.
I rolled 3 twos. It was really
If you're going to roll under 9, might as well roll a 6.
Might as well snake eyes.
6 is the worst number of the damn game.
That is true. So going into round 7, I was a little disheartened because day 2 had gone pretty badly for me. So I sat down versus Crump. So the two Crumps of the Mom Podcast and the Crippled System Podcast were playing each other. And he was locked into Constance Blaze with 4 million troopers. And of course she has Banishing Ward, and she has a unit that's all built in Banishing Warded. So I was like, Ron's a bad choice, and I went with Ossian, and it was super duper the wrong decision. If I ever have that decision to make again, I will not do that, because I got my shit shoved in with the +2 charge range and her feet, and the fact that Epic Eris was over in my Ron list. I never had a chance that game. I just didn't.
We did hear you forgot the second part of Shatterstorm that RFP.
Well, I didn't realize that Shatterstorm's RFP came before her feet.
Oh.
So that was really the mistake there. I knew Shatterstorm RFP'd. I thought it was post-feet.
Oh, gotcha.
So, live and learn.
No, I mean, I think... Yeah.
Because mine is on Destroyed.
Yeah, but active players...
I'm not sure how it works.
Yeah, if you RFP, it's not Destroyed, so he doesn't get the feet. Blaze's feet doesn't trigger on
RFP happens before Destroyed.
Yeah, that's what everybody told me after the game. So live and learn.
Hey, Jeremy, you're dumbass.
Yeah, you're bad at the game.
These are the rules.
So anyway, the very end of the game, I had like several shots with my feet at an armor 31 Constance Blaze to try to win the game. I did manage to put 3 damage on her. I was pretty proud of that. And then he killed every model in my army except Moral Victory. He failed to kill a Stormfall. Again, like the earlier game. So, you know, he's really the big loser here, because he may have scored 5 scenario points and killed all but one model in my army, but that's 2 points, because I had half that Stormfall unit. So
there you go.
So
I like to think it was the same Stormfall guy.
I like to think it was, too. So anyway, that Stormfall guy, clearly the hero of my weekend.
And everybody, you can wake up now. Jeremy's done talking.
Hold on, Jordan. What's Jeremy's recommendation? All right, now
he was going to recommend something horrible that was going to get edited out.
So I didn't.
All right. Oh yeah.
What's he going to recommend?
He had a movie with tell us about.
We'll pretend that's what it was. Yep. He was going to recommend Rots, great auction game. The end.
All right.
Jordan.
Jordan. Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, my name is Jordan. I play Kador. I'll try to be quicker than Jeremy, who had copious notes and his hand was shaking as he was reading them here on this podcast.
He's all excited. He won some games. Yeah. Our little boy has grown up.
His best performance ever. He did better than everyone else. Well, the rest of... Well, the pre-Jordan, so far, better than everyone else.
Spoiler.
So, I went into this tournament with Butcher. I had a Epic Butcher theme list with 6 full units of Doom Reavers and a Conquest and Fenris. It's actually what I ended up playing most of the day and rode through the majority of my games. My other list is a P-Butcher, essentially a gun line with the Winter Guard Death Star, Nis, Valachev, Battle Carriage, and...
Conquest in there, don't you?
Behemoth. No, Conquest. Behemoth. Conquest is with the Doom Reavers. Which, spoiler, I will trade almost anything for that Conquest in my Doom Reaver list, even if it's half the points of the Conquest, because he really doesn't do any work in that list, but people have to go after him, so I enjoy when they throw things at him.
So he's like bait?
He is bait. Unfortunately, he's just slower than the rest of my army.
Well, it's a gun. You can't ignore that damn thing's gun. Sure, it's only a crit effect, but it's always in your mind as you're advancing on it. Because if that thing crits on you, it just throws your.
Because I really generally have so much focus to give it when
it
my caster
matter.
Gets d6
it
plus
matter.
One.
The fact that
you give it one focus, it's dangerous.
If
it boosts that to hit,
if
and
that
it might
crit,
fuck your entire plan.
Yeah. So you are always paranoid. I mean, I agree it doesn't happen often, but man, when it does happen, you just are out of luck.
Anyways, my first match, I believe I played a fellow named Josh. He had some Scorn. I don't recall what his second list was because he had Zal, and I knew against Kador, Scorn plays Zal. Luckily, I had a lot of practice against Zal. Was Brian was playing it, and he had what I would somewhat consider a slightly lesser Zal list.
Suboptimal.
It had Molek Karn, the full Ancestral Guardians, Hakkar, but no Gladiator, so... Distance on Molek Karn was very obvious. It also had two full units Annihilator, so I knew I wasn't playing Doom Reavers against that. I went with the gun list. We had a fairly good game. Some crazy tough rolls happened on both sides. I made a mistake and gave him a very good chance to get the last scenario point, but I think it was four or five repeated tough checks from the one steady bear, Great Bear. Kept me in the game, and then chopped Zal in half, if I recall. I had had the option to make it so that he didn't have the chance to clear the zone. That was the mistake. I could have moved more models in there and spread them out, and I did not. Got a victory out of that.
Zal cannot take a hit, so.
No.
He's got sad defensive stats.
I was actually somewhat expecting Zal to last stand himself and go after Butcher, because he technically kills me before he dies himself.
Yep. I got booted a podcast because I didn't. I got at an event because I could have last stand to kill their caster, but I chose to last stand something else, and everyone watching booed me because it was. we were in the Masters. It was like a 99% chance it works, but I have 1% chance it fails. So I just like last stand some other random model and won the game, and they booed me.
To be fair, you've probably been booed for a podcast before as well.
Yeah, I've been. I get booed a lot.
Hey, Katie, how's your phone game going there? You drawing lots of paths with colors and stuff?
I am. It's going very well.
That's great.
So that was game one or game two?
That was game one.
Game?
That was game one. Game two was against Menoth. I believe my opponent's name was Dan. It was a very winnable scenario. I forget which one it was. I put down E. Butcher with Doom Reavers, AKA.
Well, if it's round two, that. Well, were you on. No, you weren't in the same flight.
I was in blue flight.
Never mind, so we can't.
Oh, wait. No, you weren't blue flight. You were gold.
Yeah, whatever. He had a Hyri Reclaimer. I've actually never played against him before. I consistently gave him 10 extra focus every single turn from killing his models. My mistake in that game was actually trying to put damage on his caster when I actually couldn't completely kill him, because it turns out as soon as I give him one of those souls, he's immune to all of my single wound infantry trying to do further damage, because they would instantly die when they get in 2 inches of him.
The storm.
Yeah. Luckily, though, late in the game, he ran away from Butcher, killboxed himself, which then forced him to have to be aggressive, which he didn't have enough left to be aggressive against Epic Butcher. So I won that one.
It's really, I mean, the kill box not being a game winner is nice. When you get that extra two control point edge, it really puts them on the tilt.
Third round was actually very amusing. I came up against Scorn again, the guy named Kurt. He usually plays Kador.
Cool Kurt from St. Louis.
Hey, Jeremy, is that a penis drawing contest?
It might be.
No, it's not.
He was stuck in P. Morgul against Kador, which is odd, but the bigger kick in the nuts was that we were playing out flank, out fight, out last with the two very scoreable zones in the center of the table. He did not want to fight either of my lists. He didn't really have a good match against either of them. To be a sportsman, and because I thought it would be more amusing, I chose the matchup that was more of the 60-40 versus 70-30. So Doom Reavers hit the table again. He Annihilators killed a whole bunch of Doom Reavers after I killed a few Annihilators, but he didn't contest either zone on the bottom of two, and I had towed Butcher and Conquest into one of the zones. So I dominated for two, killed the one Annihilator that was contesting the other zone, and then ended my turn and scored my other three. So that one ended fast.
Letting people score on your own turn is never good.
Yeah, it tends to not be as much of an issue because there's a lot of times where there's an objective that has to be destroyed and they can't destroy it in their own turn. So unless you destroy it to allow them to score, yeah. they can't. But then, yes, there are still those select scenarios
no matter
where
how it happens. Yeah, if it is your turn and you end your turn and your opponent goes, "Okay, I score," that's not a good thing.
Yeah. And that being the third
Jim,
round before
cool story, bro.
Yeah.
I disagree.
So I ended that game fast, so time to go eat, and then before the first round of Masters, I was 3-0. 3-0 went to top 16. I got paired
it's
up
funny
against
that, you're, that. Like this whole path, you know, your everything after that first game is because of like five tough checks in a row. Like,
I
if that doesn't happen.
I also feel that
I'm not
I started
like,
to play better.
Like, you didn't
no,
deserve
yeah,
it, but I'm just saying it's interesting to look back and say, you know, that one lucky thing is what allowed this whole.
I will say I started to play better as I went through my games until I got into the very top-end opponents where my lack of experience in Masters will show. So I went into the first round of the Masters, and I was playing Eric. I believe he's one of the Texas crew. Houston, Texas crew. He put out E-Gaspy, of course. I've played the E-Gaspy versus my P-Butcher gun line many, many times. I've always lost. I don't think I've ever beaten E-Gaspy. Before in even practice games, so I said let's throw it on E-Butcher, let's see what happens, and it was very very
I
amusing.
Think your words were fuck it.
Yeah,
I can't win with P-Butcher, so let's see what this E-Butcher.
Yeah, I wanted to. It was
can't do worse than a loss.
Yeah, it was extremely amusing for Arknode Bone Chickens to be shooting and melee attacking my models because they're all spell warded, so he can't debuff or excarnate or do anything. And
no excarnate is huge.
It is. It was huge. But he was masterfully laying his clouds, though. The clouds were a big issue. Not so much because I needed to, you know, charge versus run. It was just the fact that I take the auto point, so I can't even run to engage, even if I could see get through it at all. But it ended up happening where he cleared out the center of the table so that a Bile Thrall could perch. He killed 8 Doom Reavers, which is pretty badass. 8 Doom Reavers died. Can't really get much better than that, even when you get a excarnate extra move. But because he cleared out the center, and then he moved some models up into the zone afterwards, he didn't have, he actually had Gaspy up fairly close. And I think, you know, I think he was worried about Fenris. He had a cloud in front of Fenris. But Butcher rolled 6 focus, I believe, that turn. So he, proceeded to Ravager Boundless Charge, into some models and then start his little ballerina spinning dance.
With the feet up, right?
With the, I didn't... I remembered to pop the feet after the first swing, so I'd already killed 2 or 3 models that I could have had extra rage tokens. But anyways, he started generating rage tokens. There was a rules issue that came up because the my understanding of the way Boundless Charge had worked was that by charging, you gain the movement bonus and Pathfinder for that model, because
yeah,
it lasts a turn.
The discrepancy was whether the Pathfinder is during the charge only, or if by charging you ergo get for the rest of your turn.
And you played it out that way for a few
minutes. We played it out that way because Butcher got all the way up to Gaspy with 2 focus left, and because of Berserk, he got 1 attack and then bought 2 more and just completely
I would love
shut
that visual of E-Gaspy, E-Butcher spinning across the battlefield right at the E-Gaspy.
And E-Gaspy just going, oh, no. It gets closer and closer.
So the rules question came up. There wasn't a clear answer, but there was some discussion on PP forums where they said that it didn't work like Relentless Charge.
Let's just cut to the chase. By there is some discussion, you mean there's 1 thread with 1 post, and it's me saying it worked against you.
And the hilarious part is I went and got Nate in the bar and read the ability and said, does he have a Pathfinder for the entire turn? And he says, oh, yeah, of course he does.
It can read either way. We're not opening this can of worms.
It ended up not mattering. We reset the last move there. So Butcher's, you know, 2.5 away from Gaspy. But I was sitting on 9 rage tokens at this time from the feat. Fenris runs through the crowd, takes a point of damage, and at the end of his run is... you know, right in front of Gaspy's face, as is, you know, a unit of Doom Reavers ran up towards him as well, because he'd cleared a whole bunch of area. Doom Reaver ended up just outside of Hellbound, which, with a rage token, being able to move his full move, which is then 3 in Hellbound, and then a 2-inch reach, means that a Doom Reaver can reach him and Fenris. So Fenris 3 rage tokens, Gets an attack, boost to hit, boost damage. Doom Reaver does the same. Chop Gaspy in half once again. The first time I've ever beaten Elitch, and it was at a Masters quality player. I was very happy with myself. Did not get much sleep.
And you beat him
sleep.
Twice.
Yeah, beat him twice. Take that, Texas.
Yes.
So now you're in the top eight.
Now I'm in the top eight, and I come up against younger Crump. He was playing.
Who's defeated me and Jeremy? I forgot his name. I'm staring.
He hadn't defeated Jeremy yet.
So you're defending my honor.
Battle of podcast misfits.
Yeah. Come up against Crump, and it was a very very winnable scenario. I think it was actually. I forget what it was. It was a very winnable scenario. It was with the flags in the center and then offset objectives. You kill the objectives. You can dominate or control the flags.
Ammunition. No. Not ammunition.
It's the light artillery
objective.
Yeah,
the light artillery one. That's why my brain was going, like, fire support or something.
Which I was very surprised he put down his Bart list, because every time I've actually heard of the Bart list losing, it's because it loses on scenario. So I was kind of surprised he put that down. I took E-Butcher. The Bart list is very, very effective at clearing out infantry. The E-Butcher list... I'm going into every round expecting to lose 8 to 12 Doom Reavers, but then over the course of the three turns where you kill all my Doom Reavers, I've then won by scenario. So his list didn't do anything that I wasn't already going in expecting any other list to do. He made a ton of A-bomb command checks, but that ended up not mattering.
NISS were stalwart.
Yeah, his NISS would never run away.
I hear that's a thing with NISS.
Yep. Got five control points. Before the last two that I got from a domination, Galleon was able to get close enough to be about 3/4 of an inch too far from being able to harpoon drag Butcher. I could have made that again a non-issue and had Butcher on the other side of the flag just as easily, but I'm lucky that mistake didn't cost me the game.
All right. So we're all excited. Jordan has made the top four. At this point, Jeremy has only lost one game. You are undefeated, so we're thinking we still have a potential. You know, there's a chance. There was like three teams that were all Chicago, us, and Texas were all basically all stat wise tied for potentially. Winning.
Well, Iowa still had Chad undefeated,
and I have,
and
but I have
Trump one. At X and one.
So there's four teams all possible going into the second to last round of who could win the cup. So it was pretty exciting. Yeah. I mean, we're all in the bar chatting. We're having people text us constant updates. What's happening?
The person I was using as an information go-to getter was very inconsistent.
It's true. It was wrong of me to never respond to your texts. I could have turned my head slightly to the right and told you to fuck yourself. Oh, wait, I did.
So don't rely on Nate to answer texts.
Yeah. That's true.
So semifinals, I play Will Pagani from Texas, and I noticed that he's already played. He's playing Circle. He has Emorvana and Chromac. I noticed he's already played Chromac twice. So I expect he's probably not going to play Chromac again. And in fact, I bet everything on that. And then I looked at his Morvana list, and I was like, Purification. Not playing P Butcher. I'm going to lock myself in for my final round, but I'm going to throw down E Butcher once more. We start our game. I win the roll to go first, which is monumentous in that E-Butcher list with the plus one to get that and go first.
That's a word now.
Monumentous is a word.
Monumental is a word.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Words with friends might allow it, but that doesn't mean it's a friggin' word.
Right.
Words with friends allows a lot of crap. It doesn't allow stuff. I'm still mad it won't let me put twink.
Or
words
gem.
With friends need to watch more game
you
porn.
Can spell Zerfkov in words with friends, but you can't spell some words.
Anyways, we get our game, and I'm sure he'll talk about this on his podcast in more depth. He makes a mistake on his bottom of one, and for an inexplicable reason, Morvana ends in run and then rage token range of Fenris and possibly one more Doom Reaver.
Well, she had lots of transfers at least, right?
Yeah, no. She was completely empty. So she could have had transfers and she could have not been in range. So that was
would have been better things to do.
That was a mistake that I tried to capitalize on with an assassination run. I feel that, you know, mathing it out, we talked about it, and I think like with all the rolls to hit or whatnot, it was about, you know, 50-50 was probably 50-50 or better is probably what the odds I had.
Yeah.
I had to actually get there. Monumentous is a word.
That's momentous.
Same thing.
Thank you, Katie.
Momentous is a word. Yes.
Momentous, whatever.
I'll try again.
I wouldn't know that.
I go after it because I feel a 50-50 shot against an excellent player with my lack of, you know, I don't feel confident about myself in this at all. So having this assassination shot, I'm like, yes, hell yes, I'm going to go for it. I have to go all in. You know.
And Will didn't see it coming either. He was
I believe
he saw it at the end of his turn because he hit the death clock and then just stood up and walked away in depression.
Yeah, I believe that's how he described it on site there. And to everyone else talking about the story, because it was so funny. It was a semifinals round. I think one person was watching how it ended because it was so fast. No one ever expects a semifinals, finals levels game to end so fast. So no one was, like, one or two people were watching as this played out. And then as people walked over later, like, what the hell happened? Oh, the game ended already. So I go after it. Conquest shot drifts too far to kill some guys. It actually lands on Morvana, but I hadn't given him focus. I missed one or two guys who needed to clear a path for Fenris and themselves and get more rage tokens. All in all, it was a failed assassination attempt.
You're missing sixes, so you're not, like, missing crazy rolls.
I think there was one seven, because I didn't realize the stone guy has such high defense.
Yeah.
I'm used to people him doing, like, the stone skin or whatever, where he drops all his defense. But, yeah, I missed a seven and then missed a couple sixes, and that was that. I think the carnivore primal stalker warped into Butcher's back arc and ate his ass or something. I don't know.
Ew.
Still not bad. So now you're 5-1.
Now I'm 5-1 at this point.
He did lose to somebody who likes the feral.
5-1 at this point, going into the last round. I'm hoping I can dodge Crix. I'm hoping I can play the other loser from the other semifinal game and get some Kator on trolls. I did not. I played another Crix player. Luckily, he was locked out of E-Gaspy, so it ended up being his E-Scar versus my P-Butcher that I'm locked into.
And this is Tom from Chicago.
This is Tom from DeKalb.
Also, by the way, Monumentous is at best a portmanteau.
I don't know what that means.
It means that you take two real words and mash them together and pretend it's a word.
Okay.
Like guesstimate.
Okay.
And vagina.
The again made some mistakes in this game. Of the biggest one actually just being I feeded on P Butcher when I was actually just killing armor 12 and 13 models that
you don't need weapon master against.
Sometimes
guys.
You need help to kill those mechathrons.
I thought I would be throwing some attacks at his two heavies. I was not. Luckily, Butcher was a champ and tanked a Nightmare and Deathjack to the face.
I don't know if that's possible.
Well, Deathjack had to trample.
He wasn't Nightmare's prey, was he?
No, he was not. Okay, yeah, so the mistakes were that on Tom's part, prey was not on Butcher, and the Deathjack had to trample and then perdition with focus from himself to get to Butcher. So there was only two or three attacks from the Deathjack. And Butcher was at full camp. He was knocked down. I hadn't cast Iron Flush at all. So when the knockdown came, I was it doesn't really change the math. Butcher ends up surviving on two health points. I get a chance at Scar with some Joe yelled at Rocketeers, Behemoth cannon shots, and my gun carriage. I come up 2 points shy. There was a low damage roll. I had 3 dice. I needed a 10. I got an 8. If I had been not dumb and saved my feet, she would have been dead. So very very good game there. That again could have gone either way.
Yeah, so 5-2. You lost. So your only 2 losses were to the person who got first place in the tournament and the person who got second place in the tournament.
That is correct.
Jeremy's first loss was the person who got third place in the tournament.
Yeah, correct. Jeremy brought down the other finalist by tanking in Masters.
Yeah.
If Jeremy had played well, the finals table might have actually been number 1 and number 2.
Yeah, I ran into him at the store afterwards, and he was like, dude, you couldn't win one game? Like, I'm at the finals table, and I got third.
All because of you're welcome, Jordan. Jeremy's always screwing a Jordan. Doesn't matter which Jordan, but there's always some...
I was like, sorry, I don't know what to tell you. I would have liked to win, too.
And I guess considering if I had beaten Tom... who took second, I guess I probably would have taken second.
You would
second.
Have been second or – you at worst, you would have got second or third.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it was a very – you two are always the ones who place high in the events, and the rest of us are the ones who always lose their lives. So
that's
normal.
That's completely
that
not
is
true.
Super not true. Except for the one event that we held here locally that was the – what was it, like one list event or whatever?
It was a 35-point newbie-friendly event that no newbies showed up towards. That was
a goofy tournament.
By the way, Travis texted me to ask if Jeremy was at least being entertaining this episode, and I said, if you like droning.
Wow.
Some people like droning.
The last
I
words
did just send out a tweet.
Obama likes droning. Yeah. Politics!
The last words I'm going to say is I'm going to go ahead and get a recommendation because I don't know if I'll be on this podcast again. Jim Jeffries is an amazing comedian. If you can listen to any of his stand-up, see his shows. His TV show is all right, but he's a fantastic
comedian.
According
to Jim?
No.
He was.
He brought him up because we were talking about the whores, right? Or is that a different comedian?
I think it was.
Yeah, it was our constant drive whore discussion and brought up comedians.
That's why the
I'm pretty
broke.
Sure the according to Jim is Jim Jones.
That's true. A lot of people did things according to Jim.
Poor Jim Belushi's like, hey, it's not.
Never say poor Jim Belushi. That man is an abomination to God and nature.
Hey, I like him in Canine.
The wrong Belushi died.
Wow.
You telling me if you could pick which Belushi died, you'd pick John?
I wouldn't pick a Belushi to die.
One of them has to die. It's like Sophie's Choice, but with fine. A good comedian and a shitty brother.
I pick his dad.
Wow.
Jesus.
He's older.
It's true.
All people should be dead.
The proper world response should be is you just don't choose a Belushi to die.
Aren't you the oldest one here, Brian?
I know.
One of them has to die.
No.
No, it's true. Like, the Nazis have the Belushis. Haven't you seen Sophie's Choice? So the Nazis have her, and they say one of the Belushis must die.
I've never seen that movie.
That's
German,
Russian
never realized that
Nazis.
Was about.
I don't.
I never saw
what
that
is
movie.
The Swedish
about the Belushis.
Nazi?
Oh, my God.
You got it.
We will have the order. Kill the student Flugas.
Oh, wow.
What?
Wow.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
Oh, what the
wow.
Hell?
Wow.
I didn't want to do the not the Jewish Nazi.
I didn't want to do the Nazi.
You started the Nazi to begin with, so I feel like once
Sophie's
you're there,
Choice is about Nazis.
I thought it was a love story. I thought it was like made in the. I have no idea.
Somebody's killing her kids. I don't remember. I think it's Nazis.
I'm sorry, Jordan.
It could be the Russians.
I'm sorry, everyone who had to hear this.
Oh. Sophie's Choice is a classic, possibly book. I know it's a movie.
I thought it was a play.
I'm going to Google it real quick.
How many continents? Wasn't it a diary?
Oh, my God. That's Anne Frank.
She made a choice? Anne Frank's choice?
Is that a Helen Keller's diary?
I tried Googling Sophie's Choice, but my autocorrect made it Doggies at the Beach.
How is that
Sophie,
her choice?
When you use swipe, Sophie autocorrects to Doggies, apparently.
That's happier.
Yeah. Doggies choose to have milk bones. That's much happier.
So, Jordan, can we expect you next week?
At what?
At our podcast?
Probably not.
Okay.
What? That hurts. We love having you here.
Do we have time? Well, how long have we been going? Do we have time for Katie's Corner, or are we like at 7 hours?
We're at a minute 30.
I think it's an hour 30. For the record.
Yeah.
It depends on what your skip is.
It depends on how much we have to cut out.
Yeah.
From Nathan's.
Yeah, there's Nazis. I'm scrolling here. It's about Nazis and Poland and stuff.
Katie, what's your corner?
I don't have a corner this week. Suck.
sleep is good.
Does this have to do with the game? Or
depends what game you're playing there, Jordan.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up.
It's wrong for girls to talk about that.
Yeah, well,
it's
you guys sit
you
there and giggle like
up,
high school.
By the way, a lot of guys have problems.
Wow.
What?
Have problems with what?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Katie.
So there's the birds and the bees. Okay.
And Jeremy.
Which always confused me, because why would you have interspecies relations?
The birds are with birds and the bees are with bees. You're
then
not
why
looking
are there
at
birds and bees? You
because
only need
both
one.
Of them fuck.
You just need one. You
why can't
it
be
the birds?
One
the
bird
the
can't
birds.
Fuck? Then you'd be talking to your kids about masturbation.
Maybe
speaking of
conversation
which, day
anyway.
Two.
And that was Katie's Corner.
Yeah, Katie's Corner.
Your corners really don't suck.
I didn't prepare anything because I thought we were...
Speaking of sucking.
Wow. Well, wow. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
I didn't prepare anything because I was told we'll just be speaking about Mayhem Couple. Like, I asked specifically today, do I need to do something? And Brian was like, no, Mayhem Couple will just be enough.
So do we have Gym Tech then at least?
Gym Tech?
Is that also don't suck? Because that's don't. Actually, if you can do that, that's going to go far.
Don't take Jeremy's advice. Is that the Gym Tech for this week?
Oh my gosh, if Jeremy's advice is to not take Jeremy's advice, is that like a then paradox?
What do you do?
What do you do?
It's like a stone. That's so Jeremy's big, choice. You can't move it.
Or it's like if Pinocchio says my nose is about to grow,
oh,
what
I knew
happens?
You're gonna bring that up. Oh, jeez.
Huh? What happens?
All I'm saying, give me about 30 more seconds and Facebook's gonna come up.
I don't know what that
the
means.
The thing you told me not to recommend.
Oh,
with your
yeah.
face and the horrible look on it.
No, yeah.
Oh, I will say I will have about 70 or so pictures uploaded to our Facebook page tonight, maybe tomorrow at the latest. I realize our Facebook page doesn't have as many likes as Musa Minis, and that makes me sad. So I'm going to only post everything usefulness on Facebook to try to get his attention.
Excellent.
Oh, also.
That matters somehow.
Also, our email address is podcast@crippledsystem.com.
Yes.
So far,
everyone who's emailed us has been awesomely crazy.
Well, yes. There are two different people who email us. Those who hate us and those who are obviously using their 10 minutes that they're allowed outside of their padded cell to use the communal computer to message us.
We did get an email with someone asking some questions. We'll get to it next week.
Yes.
Don't have time this week for the rant.
And also, we have had a bunch of people follow our Twitter feed as well. Somebody asked about a fashion show at Mayhem Cup. I have no idea what they were talking about.
Probably our shirts.
Or the fact, I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know.
We did have somebody ask what the WI in our logo stands for.
Yeah, by the way, that's Wisconsin, for those of you keeping score at home.
It's a state.
Well, most of our listeners are from Sweden, so I mean, to be fair, I mean,
where's the WI? I'm having fun.
We need a podcast where that's all you can talk like for the entire podcast.
Okay.
No, I will say this. This will be my Katie's Corner. If you lose in the first round of a tournament, just keep playing because you'll learn a whole lot.
Yeah, don't rage quit and then
don't rage quit.
Then drive home.
Okay, let me summarize.
Drive home and then start ranting about it. That's not a good thing to do.
That's not where I was going with that at all. But.
I stopped Jeremy from bringing that up specifically because I thought you would lose your shit and edit it out, and now you're doing it. I'm like, Jeremy. Like, Jeremy's like, I'm like, don't do it. Andy will kill you.
Don't do what?
Bring up Facebook rant angry.
You're the one who told
tournament
us about it.
Drop.
Oh. Just because some people have just because some people you lose round one and you drive 6
no,
hours
all
away.
Right, seriously, if we're going to bring it up anyway,
no,
I want to make my recommendation.
Vague.
No. Hey.
Vague.
No.
We're classy that way.
If you are a new player and you go to a tournament and you lose your first round, you keep playing and you will learn a lot because there'll be people doing things that you won't see in your meta because that's how their meta plays.
Yes.
Or you can leave and leave your polite, nice, friendly wife behind to chit-chat with us, and then you can
okay,
go.
You just went way off of vague.
What?
That was not vague.
And what, can't people have hot wives that are friendly?
No! You cannot.
Do not say that. I'm just saying people have wives.
All right, these last 20 minutes need to all be edited out. Lance, edit this out for us.
Yeah, Lance.
Hey, I met Lance, and he sold me his Gallus Groves. I was very appreciative.
That was
thank you, Lance.
I finally met who Brian P is from the...
Brian B.
Yeah, I call him B. That's our thing.
It's
Brian Painter.
Yeah, Brian Painter. He,
right?
Yeah. He always paints. He pulls the most amazing models, and he won some of the wise. And I didn't talk to him because, you know, I was too intimidated by his presence. But
you spent your $20 talking to Keith.
Yeah, I know. I was broke.
Keith, all my money.
And well, Fat Asian charges me more because he's more famous.
Well, his ego is super cheap, as it turns out.
Yeah, you pay by the pound.
Holy crap!
Oh.
That's not nice.
That was good, though.
It's in his name!
No,
Andy,
that's pretty hot and tempting.
All the battle reports, cut them out. For real.
Just cut out the battle reports.
For real.
Oh, no, I could make it so it's only two podcasts.
Hey.
One awesome 45-minute podcast.
Just speed Jeremy's section up like 10 times speed. So, it's
so he
like,
sounds like a chipmunk?
You know, it's like, and now Jeremy's battle report. And then we go on to being awful again.
So if you've skipped to this point, go back to the beginning and skip to this point.
Yeah, Crumb
it's much better.
Crumb charges me a quarter. Chad I actually gave money to because Chad is, you know, he's legitimately awesome.
Yeah.
I mean.
I was very sad I did not get to play Space Alert with Chad.
I didn't get to play War Machine against him too. I was very sad. Well, usually, me
Chad
and Chad
was
fight.
Actually playing War Machine this weekend, as opposed to you, who was just losing a couple of times.
Wow!
Ooh. Bird.
Them fighting words.
Boy, this is getting God, hostile. I'm gonna annihilate the living fuck out of you the next time we play War Machine.
He said War Machine
because we got to do our league game.
That is true. So I will hold on. I will concede against your wife first, so that she can go to the championships undefeated and undefeated.
And also unwinning.
You wouldn't be undefeated. You have lost all your games ever, but you'd be in the championship match, which is why it's awesome.
I don't know how to plan against that.
Continues to be nice and nice chipper. And friendly.
Yeah.
She was trying new things.
Yeah, no, that's good. She's doing good. She's gonna beat me. I know it. Like, because it'll be funny that way. She's just gonna legitimately beat me. But then I will just annihilate Jeremy.
Then you'll play a game of War Machine.
All my hatred. Yes, and then he won't be able to play very well because he'll be bleeding and broken.
Oh, no, I need that. You can't.
No, I'll leave that. He'll be fine. Okay. He'll be fine. You don't need his face.
No, I do.
Okay.
That's the nice thing she ever said about Jeremy. Wow. How romantic.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah, we have run out of steam all at the exact same time.
Done.
For the record, Jordan has not stopped smiling.
Gym tech.
I was going to ask you if you were gym tech.
Gym
tech. You stared at me vacantly.
Give us some gym tech.
Yeah. My gym tech is, Jeremy, don't sell yourself short.
Actually, there was one funny.
For real.
Jim was standing there with me and Keith, and Jim is telling him, I forget what exactly, I won't repeat it, but you were saying some really cool new tech. Keith just lights up, and I'm like, oh, great. You just gave him more tech, and you just, like, frowned. He was so happy.
Yeah,
he's like I will. He said. He said he won't tell, but obviously the next Muse at Minis, he's going to spill out all those things you said.
Yeah, so I've got three gym techs. One was for Jeremy specifically. One is never do anything around Keith. I think we can agree on that one.
I think we can.
Mm-hmm. And the third one is I forgot it already.
I shouldn't have sold my Cricks.
definitely. Nature Control sold his Cricks. I can't talk anymore. I think that. Also, make sure that you always try things out before you talk about them. Because this week, you've probably heard 16 podcasts talk about every single new release, and they've rated it for you. They said, this is worthless, and this is good, and that's how it is. And I would say to you, you can use that as some ideas to generate where things should and shouldn't be, but I would really suggest just trying the models that you like.
That is wholeheartedly the best advice this podcast has ever given.
No,
which was not
the
hard.
Beginning of this podcast, when we said that this is the worst podcast ever, that is good advice too.
But that was some advice. That was just a fact.
That was a fact. Yeah. Although it did say that it wasn't sure about this episode, but now we do know that this episode is also horrible.
I walked out on this episode for like 45 minutes, so
and
I
Jeremy
can imagine.
Still was talking.
It's true.
Wait, that is a statement of fact.
You did well this weekend, Jeremy. At least this time you're getting better because we're just compounding all this shit on you. So you're building up the thicker skin.
It's immunity.
Yeah.
I must say, everyone from Madison was very supportive of me in the finals. It was very good to have.
Well, it was great before every game. Like before, like Jeremy, even when Jeremy was, we'd pull
even
people.
Jeremy,
we'd pull you guys. We'd have this little huddle before the match. Like, okay, if he plays this, try this. Don't forget this. And we're all trying because we want him to win. Yeah. So we're all trying to like throw out wisdom. I mean, Jeremy disregarded all of it.
Yeah,
obviously.
I tell Jeremy, hey, make sure your strike force don't go after the errants because you need those for his jacks. I walk over there and he's shooting errants with strike force.
Maybe. That might have
been. And his Hulk hands was like 7,000 years away and his strike force were standing right in front of AoEs.
Yep.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
To be fair, also, we're mean to Jeremy in kind of a boy named Sue kind of way. Like, we figure, you know, we'll toughen you up.
Make
a man out of you.
Actually, legitimately, my recommendation, because I didn't make one, is bring friends with you to a tournament. Because if you do happen to make day two, like, that moral support is huge. Like, I don't know about Jordan, but, like, I'd have just folded for that fourth game if, like, I hadn't had, like, you guys around.
Getting food.
Yeah, getting food would be nice. They didn't do that for me. But if they had, that would have been great. Oh, my own wife didn't get me food.
I got Jeremy food on day one.
Speaking of getting food, Jordan.
What? Oh.
Here's a good advice, too, is if you're sharing a hotel room with somebody in the group and you are personally messaged by the rest of the group saying, hey, we're going out to breakfast. Make sure everybody wants to come. Hey, let's go breakfast.
That's not what it said.
Maybe you mention breakfast to the other person in the room with you, Jordan.
You and Pat, who'd been... Yeah.
He did not fucking mention it.
He mentioned it. He said, there's
he
the Dunkin' Donuts.
He gets an email, he gets a text that's like, we're going to go to breakfast. And he's like, I saw a Dunkin' Donuts across the street. Bye. And then that was it. That was the conversation.
I mentioned it before the text came in because I had already knew.
So that's even worse. Before the text, you're like, hey, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Then you get a text that's like, we're going to Dunkin' Donuts. And you go, bye.
Well, you and Pat had been spooning all night, and you seemed to have a plan for the morning.
He slept on the floor that night, you liar.
My favorite part of that is he was like, well, I thought Brian and I were just going together.
Yeah.
That was like a date.
I didn't know that.
We got a text from across town inviting us, and Nathan did not.
Yeah. Yep.
I text Jim.
Yeah. It's sorry. Like Essen House all over again.
Sorry, Nate. I didn't tell you that morning that we got a text from across town to go take you to Dunkin' Donuts.
Assholes.
Yeah, we're assholes. Crippled system, goodbye.
Glenn was there.
Yes. Okay. Yep, he sure was.
That was my Glenn shadow, because he came to Glenn.
He did come. Glenn was there.
He drove himself all by himself, which that's a long drive by himself.
It was a long drive.
We had 11 people playing for Madison at the main cup, so it was a very good weekend.
Yeah.
Yep. And the cup is now gone to Houston, so we will never fucking see it again, which is kind of a curse and a blessing. Yeah. I mean, they'll defend it three times, they'll come back, or it'll travel. If it travels across,
I will at least
go,
and I'll probably Ronin in with somebody else, because I for sure will go for it, because my ex and my daughter live in Houston. Because
all of his exes live in Texas.
All my exes do live in Texas, so I'll probably go and crash with her or whatever and hang out and use it as an excuse for
a bunch of
double dip.
There will probably be, I would imagine.
Wow.
On vacation usage, not on banging my ex-wife.
You have to clarify it really loud because your fiance is in the room. So,
oh,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to. Oh, no, never mind.
So, yeah, so there'll probably be 5 to 10 people from Iowa and the North going. They'll all probably fight for the same team. We should fight for Travis. We fight for Milwaukee to make Travis run an event.
He wants Adepticon already.
I have another suggestion. Don't play for a store that you don't play for normally.
Yeah.
At a Mayhem Cup, that's lame.
Well, they usually do. They have a 50-mile rule. If you go somewhere, you have to play for your area. You can't, like,
usually
you have to
play for your area, but you can, like, you know, you can combine
Iowa's
a
Iowa's not
bit.
Our area. No offense.
No, but I mean, if you're going to Texas, if
Iowa.
One person,
oh,
if,
he was saying.
If one person from Wisconsin goes to Texas and there's like 5 Iowans, you just play with the Iowans. I mean, you don't get too much more than that. But if there's like one random person,
yeah,
no,
I would stretch, and I think I might be able to claim Chicago, because at least I lived in Chicago for several years.
Well, the Chicago you and can, the Cavs work together because it was.
You can win a Mayhem Cup with just first.
You can.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, first were eight, but
the last actually has never happened. All the Mayhem Cups have had one person's had like three people because DeKalb got second and third, and that wasn't good enough.
DeKalb missed it by a point.
Yeah, I know.
The shout out to DeKalb. Those guys did really, really well.
Slash Chicago.
So, thing is, if you guys would have did better,
I know they would have done worse.
No. If you guys would have did better, it's possible that the DeKalb kids could have actually taken it because that one point was Texas's.
Yeah, like basically,
if Jordan had beaten Will with that assassination attempt,
or if
then
Jordan
that crippled
could have
Texas
done worse and tanked one of his opponent's strength of schedule. How
well, no,
dare
I played against Jordan. Had I won some games, he probably would have gone up a point or two.
The other Jordan. They would have switched second and third, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah,
it was nice. It was a good close game. The Chicago crowd used to be a kind of a walkover, pushover crowd. The last year, they've got a lot of new blood. They're playing very competitively, and now they're a challenge a little bit. We'll crush them next time we see them because fuck those guys. But because
Madison does so well right now.
Before Jordan, the Chicago Jordan's game with Will, I went over there. Like, okay, you have Madison's full support for the next 2 hours, and you guys can go fuck yourselves again. I was like the official. We're rooting for you for a few minutes.
Tom McLaughlin got the nicest compliment Keith will ever give anybody. In regards to his play.
That's true.
And I don't think he ever heard it. So just if you see Tom or if you're listening, Tom, Keith said, wow, that kid plays Elitch a lot like me. So that is the nicest compliment Keith will ever give to another human being, probably.
And Tom Deathjack won the best painted warjack. He paints really well.
Rightfully so. That thing is really, really nice.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Shout out for Tom, and that's it.
All right, we've been nice for way too long, so I think we must be done.
Yeah,
come on, Nathan. We're done. Insult a culture. We should have a wheel of who.
Tell me something about the Jews.
look Jordan in the eyes.
There's a convenient wheel upstairs that we can use for that.
Just put a whole bunch of different ethnicities.
116 spaces on that thing.
Yeah, we can do 116 different, you know, groups of people.
Yeah, because they don't have to just be cultures. Like, right. We can put women on there.
Don't put Asia on there because Keith already does his Chinaman voice. So
you could do a Japan voice.
I could.
Can you do
a Swedish Japan voice? I was
Swedish
gonna,
Japan?
Swedish Japan. Yeah. You know how the hell that works.
I don't know.
Tora, Tora, Tora. You attack Pearl Harbor. Tora, Tora, Tora. That's what they said they attacked Pearl Harbor. Those sneaky slant. What?
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Now we are stopping it.
That's getting bleeped. No, that just gets cut out.
No.
No.
No, you have to live with your shame forever.
So, I just realized what the buzzards in Borderlands were doing then.
Yeah, they're saying Tora, Tora, Tora because it's yeah, it's Pearl Harbor.
Thanks.
You didn't know that? A movie. Based about Pearl Harbor.
I thought it was based about Japan.
I assumed it was Jewish.
I thought it was like bullfighting.
Jewish Tora, Tora, Tora is a Jewish movie?
You know what the Torah is?
Yeah, Torah.
I know.
No, it's spelled differently.
I believe
with
you.
An does
not sound differently. Pun. I'm Polish. You want to make fun of the Poles?
I'm sure Andy's still recording.
He is still recording.
Yeah, but he's cutting it back way, way back. He can cut it with Tora, 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 and then that's the end of the episode.
All right, when you go, you know, I defeated you, then I didn't because I'm not that bad.